3, 2, 1, transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Chris Angel is out and alive. Ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable.
Where did you learn language like that? The television?
So, are you ready to rock?
I have never been more ready in my entire life to do this right now.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our
time to shine. That's tight.
That's what she said.
Roll another one.
That's not pot.
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to end.
Marijuana is delicious.
I don't have another cent.
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
And now you are so stoned, man. You wake and bake every day.
Our feature presentation.
You know how you do things in life and they are a clear sign that you're in trouble?
Uh-oh. Like what?
And you go, wow, that should be some kind of a sign to me. I'm in.
You mean
I'm
like when you
well.
Walk out of the house and then you get lost?
That kind of thing.
You're yeah. disoriented.
So I'm going to the X Games yesterday.
Okay.
Oh!
And, you know, you got to park a ways away because there's a lot of people.
Sure.
So you park your car and then, you know, you get out, you walk up. And as I was approaching the Staples Center, I reached in my pocket to get the tickets and I realized my keys weren't there.
Oh, no.
So I thought, oh, man, I wonder if I lost them between here and the car. Maybe I left them in the car. I doubt it. So
you can't lock your car without them, can you?
Right. Well, yeah. Well, that was step one. Is okay. As I was walking away, I was thinking, "Oh, I forgot to lock my car." But then, still, don't worry about it.
Let's okay.
Go. So, so I get to the Staples Center. And I think, "Oh, I got to go back." So I retrace my steps to see if I dropped my keys anyplace. Mm-hmm. And I got all the way back to my car, which was, you know, a quarter of a mile away,
mm-hmm.
And it was running.
Oh, no!
It was running.
Keys were in it. Engine running.
God,
didn't even turn it off.
God. Was there a giant neon sight, a sign on top that said steal me?
Might as well been.
Oh my God.
And I stopped and looked at the car. I was like, I didn't even turn it off?
Is there a giant neon sign saying Alzheimer's?
A-hole?
Dude, oh my God.
That's rough.
I mean, really?
That's scary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you need to be put down.
Car was Puppy Lee.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid so. I'm afraid at this point, Puppy Lee.
Wow, that was bad surprise.
Yeah.
I would never have predicted that would have been the outcome of that story.
I know. I know. Me
what
either,
chances?
By the way. Me either.
Huh.
Dude.
Yep, just running. Just ready to go.
Somehow I thought it was going to be you didn't have the tickets in
no,
your pocket.
Had the tickets.
And you had to go all the way home.
Was trying to give the car away.
Wanker.
Wow.
Which is really
That
scary.
Would be disturbing.
Right?
You have to admit.
You
yeah.
go, how could I do something that dumb?
It's and then not had dumb, your, it's...
Even for me.
Had your car been stolen, boy, would you have been pissed.
Yeah. Oh,
and you
yeah.
would have been like, how did they steal my car? Those bastards. They broke into my car. And if it was ever found, then you'd find out the ugly truth that you gave it away.
Just gave it away.
I might as well have just left raffle it. Raffle tickets or anything for it? Or
I might as well just left it in drive and jumped out.
Yeah. Really?
But
God.
No one had a chance to steal it, or they took pity on me, and it was still just sitting there. Running.
How long were you gone, do you reckon? Total time from the time you walked away from the car to the time you came back?
I don't probably
2 minutes.
No, probably 5 to 7 minutes.
What would you guys do if you walked by a car that was running with no one in it?
Depends on how nice a car was.
Well, the thing about that is that I was thinking about that, but most people are, you know, that's their destination. They're going there to get out of their car and walk in. They're not looking. Most people aren't looking for a car.
But I mean, would you turn the motor off?
Oh, I don't think so. I think I just
no.
You just
it
leave it.
Oh, you
I
would think. I would assume, especially in a parking lot, I would assume that the owner was nearby and it was intentional.
I would chuckle. I'd go, "What an a-hole!" Just keep walking. So that was my day yesterday. That was good.
Wow, that is weird.
Left the car running.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
How was X Games?
It's great. Fun. Big time.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Danny Way is the man. Remember him? He's the guy that jumped the Great Wall of China.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He wiped out. Did you watch it?
I didn't.
They were doing the big air, which is that giant ramp with a 70-foot, you know, space in between the takeoff ramp and the landing ramp.
Yeah.
He wiped out really badly and was laying down there, and the medical personnel came out. He was probably on the ground for 5 minutes, and they kept saying, oh, you know, the medical staff is really helping him out, blah, 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 blah. They carried him off. They took him back to the, you know, back where the doctor could look at him. Uh-huh. And then, you know, about 10 minutes later, you see him at the top of the ramp again, and he's like, totally limping. He can barely stand on one foot.
Oh, no.
And he gets up and takes another run and tries the exact same trick, which included a backflip and all kinds of different stuff.
Dude.
And nails it. Gets it perfect.
Wow.
So the announcer goes over to and gets in first place. So the announcer goes over to him and says, hey, you know, what were your injuries? What's going on? He said, well, I broke my foot.
Oh.
And
no.
I hurt my shoulder, and there's something wrong with my with a couple of discs in my back.
Oh.
And he said, why did you go back up? And he said, I don't know. Doctor told me not to, but this seemed like I had to.
I'm at the X Games, and this is the moment.
Then a guy passed him, so then he took another run. Still, like, and so then he wiped out again, and the personnel came out.
Ouch.
And he got back up and went for a final time.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. And at the end, they interviewed him, and he said, you know, at the beginning of the night, I could identify, like, my foot, you know, where it hurt specifically in my body. Now my whole body's just killing me. It's just one big, giant body of nerves.
He's been nuts for years, though. I mean, he's legendary throughout the skateboarding world. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he jumped the Great Wall of China, remember, he had a broken ankle.
He broke it in practice.
That's right.
And then landed it. I don't know how you do that.
To gain enough speed to get over the Great Wall, he had to drop out of a helicopter. And his first try, he shattered his ankle.
Oh.
And so now he's like, I got the whole world watching me. I'm going to do this tomorrow regardless. And he had like some custom-built split with a shattered ankle and jumped the Great Wall of China.
That's
so
unbelievable.
I mean, he's a maniac. He's always been a maniac.
But there's a difference between a maniac who would go back out and do it again, but then with a hurt foot, you would think your performance would be worse.
Of course.
Right. He nails it. He actually goes out and does what he was trying to do the first time.
Yeah, because how do you put any weight on it? You know?
I don't know.
I always wonder if those people, like the MMA fighters who fight with broken hands and stuff, do they not feel pain the same way? Because people do have different degrees. Like, you can have the exact same break as someone else, and it feels very different to you. Are they special that way?
I don't know if they're just trained to ignore it. Just say, oh, well, so what?
I prefer to think they're different.
Yeah, well.
Like, we could be that way if we just happen to be built that way.
Yeah, I prefer to think that too, but that's not the case.
It's probably
not
true.
I think it's just mental toughness is what it is.
Yep.
Bastard.
And Jake Brown, the dude that wiped out hard last year that everybody was talking about, he was back. I think he got the gold. I can't remember who. No, Bob Burnquist got the gold. But that was a great night.
Wow. That's exciting.
And were you there for the guy trying a front flip on a motorcycle?
Yep. Tried a front flip.
Tried.
And wiped out. Didn't quite get it. But it's never been done in competition. And he tried it, man. He gave it his best and walked away from it.
Well, that's something.
Barely.
That seems like an ugly crash, by the way, if you timed that wrong.
Yeah, it was. And the other dude that did the double backflip, remember? Not Travis Pastrana, but Curtis something or another. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name. He tried it twice and missed.
Wow.
He did a double backflip, but then just hit the landing a little off and fell off the bike. Just almost made it, but tried it twice.
Wow.
A lot of futility last night. Well, a lot of failure.
Well, there were some good points, too. I mean, there were people who won and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So, anyway, the X Games again today and tomorrow and Sunday, and it's that's a fun time right there. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Meade Show. It's Friday, and it's the first of...
Yes.
That felt good.
Nice.
Bina's going to be the keynote speaker at a Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald Dork panel.
Is that what it's called?
And we're going to talk to the guy who's inviting him, and I can't wait.
Because, I don't... it's kind of you invite me.
Damn well better do it after all the time you've wasted here talking about that damn boat wreck.
No kidding. You're going, right?
We'll get the details. We'll find out what's going on. We'll learn more from the man today.
You're so gay.
Movie Beat coming up today. It's Friday. The Armenian comedian is somebody we need to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
All of our nutty, crazy people are going insane.
I think it's the heat.
It might be, but...
Could be.
It's like earthquake weather, crazy people weather.
We feel like we might need to cut them loose.
Hey, Sam is just the latest of our nut loaves to threaten to kill. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but geez.
I don't either, but it's not good.
Uh-uh.
We're going to have the cast of American Teen, brand new movie that's out where they... We got to talk about the Olympic pandas or whatever it is they have going on for the Olympics. China is so effed up when it comes to this.
I'm starting to see details about the opening ceremonies, which, by the way, are 1 week from tonight.
I know, and, I can't wait.
3.5 hours, 10,000 people. Some of the stuff that I've heard about, projecting images of whales on the ceiling. I mean, they got all this bizarre... Because, you know, every Olympics, they try to make it bigger than the one before. Interpretive dance to show the history of China for 50 minutes. They're doing that. Yep. It's just unbelievable, the stuff. And, of course, the closely guarded secret is how are they going to light the torch? You know, they... Remember the year in Atlanta? Was it Atlanta, I guess, where they gave the torch to Muhammad Ali and hoped he didn't burn the place down? sometimes they shoot an arrow to try to light it. I mean, they have all sorts of things, and there's some bizarre rumors going around about how that's going to happen. But that's 1 week from tonight.
Oh, I can't wait. That's always just so ridiculous.
It is.
Oh, they try to make it everything, and then you go, this is failing on every level. I love it.
And the thing with China and their history, they go way back. Like, we could do our history in 50 minutes. How are they going to do that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Poorly.
But isn't it the highest rated of all the days of the Olympics? Isn't the opening ceremonies? That's the big one, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I just know I love it because it's bad and you can't understand any of it. You go, where did this come from?
Why are they doing that?
What's wrong with them? Internet Roundup today, a new retarded policeman we have to tell you about.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
Along with a lot of other stuff. And ex-gamer Kevin Robinson.
Oh.
Of course, he's a BMX competitor. We're going to talk to him in the 6 o'clock hour.
All right.
So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick break. Come right back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
That's not annoying. 6 o'clock in the morning and your alarm clock goes off.
It is a Metallica weekend here on K-Rock, by the way, giving away copies of Death Magnetic, the new Metallica CD, before you can buy it, plus a platinum membership to Mission Metallica, and everyone who qualifies wins a trip to hang out with Metallica backstage at Ozfest in Texas. How about that?
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a long time for new Metallica music, but it's coming very soon, and K-Rock will hook you up all weekend long before you can buy it. 5:49, Rob's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
Britney Spears.
Guilty.
Guilty. That's what they decided yesterday. She went into court to see whether she could take control of her life back from her father, Jamie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, not so quick. He extended her the conservatorship of Jamie Spears over Britney at least through the end of the year. There'll be another status hearing on October the 28th where the judge will look at her mental status again. But as for now, Jamie still's got the reins when it comes to legal and business decisions.
Which is probably a good thing. Yeah.
What you predicted, too, would happen.
Yeah. However, the restraining order against Britney's former caretaker, Sam Lufty, remember how well he did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was in charge when,
he was trouble.
When she went down the drain. That has been dropped.
Really? So he can come back into her life if she allows it?
Apparently, yes.
Great.
So I'm suggesting more fireworks yet to come in the Spears household.
Why, Britney? Why?
Why indeed? Apparently, Balthazar Getty is serious about trying to reconcile with his wife, Rosetta, after spending all that time nude and macking out with Sienna Miller in the front of the cameras.
I'm going to tell you some. It's one thing to know that someone is cheating on you. The pictures in your head you can't erase, but then to actually see
it. Yeah, the pictures in your eyes you can't
everywhere.
Erase.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's so much worse when you actually see it. It's impossible.
It's also, I would think, super embarrassing for her if she walks around. She knows everybody else has seen the pictures, too. Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
Word is he won't stop emailing or calling her. Constantly, he's doing both, but she refuses to answer either the phone calls or the emails.
He's a douche.
Meanwhile, his co-stars on the set of Brothers and Sisters, according to an insider on the set there, are all fully on her side. His wife's side.
Yeah.
And his own family. No, we're not talking about this family with Rosetta. We're talking about his mom and dad and brothers and sisters. Call him, and they're, quote, disgusting.
He's got no one.
He's got nobody.
Well,
he better hope Sienna Miller is just the best piece of tail in the history of womankind.
One of his kids is not even a year old, right?
Yeah, 10 months.
That is disgusting.
So I don't know if he's going to be successful in regaining his love with his wife.
It'd take a while.
What actually happened with him and Sienna? Did she just dump him, or...
I think he got guilty?
He felt guilty and left, I think.
Yeah, I think he decided that I've made a huge mistake here and I missed my wife and kids and this was fun, but this isn't as good as what I had, and now he's trying to get back to his original situation. That's the thing. You got to think about that stuff before you start banging Sienna Miller nude on a balcony, I think.
I don't think it's...
But as Oscar Wilde once said, I can resist anything except temptation.
That's right.
Yeah. It's got to be hard when Sienna Miller's saying, come on.
Right.
Let's get naked
but
on the boat.
At least shut the curtains.
Right. You would think if you're married with kids and all that, you would at least try to hide it.
How eager is she? I don't know if I have time to shut the curtains. What if that opportunity passes me by? Let's talk about a good marriage, shall we?
Ooh.
Ewan McGregor and his wife, Eve Mavrakis. Apparently, they've been married for 13 years.
Wow.
And she never shared her husband's love of motorcycles, never cared for the fact that he liked to ride so much. Until recently, she surprised him by saying that she would accompany him on a motorcycle trek across Africa.
Oh my God.
She bought her own bike, learned how to ride in secret, and then when he was ready to do the motorcycle trip across Africa, she said, you know what? I'm going to go with you, and I've got my own bike, and we're going to do this together.
And he was pleased with that?
I was going to say, or a bad surprise.
I wonder if he was like,
great.
Oh, great, honey. I'll just call the fellas and tell them that they're not coming.
I wasn't looking forward to getting away. I didn't have Sienna Miller waiting for me in Kenya.
No, it's good. We'll be on the planes driving together on a motorcycle. You can just talk to me and talk to me and talk to me.
We can talk about your feelings when we stop for gas.
Terrific. Now, apparently, he was very pleased. The couple drove the entire length of Malawi and across Zambia.
Wow. That must have been amazing.
It's a lot of motorcycling.
It is.
Yeah. Sounds dangerous.
And good for her first time out, to be driving across a continent.
No kidding.
I would go to 7-Eleven maybe first time out, you know, pick up a pack of smoke, see how that went first.
Right. You got to put Ewan McGregor, Ralph, don't you, on that short list of guys who are just the deal. I mean, really just the coolest and
the nicest
and talented and just fun and just, you got to admire that.
Major star, goes out, does his work, makes his movies, then goes does whatever else he wants to do.
Stays out of tabloids.
Without being a big celebrity jackhole. So, that's good news. James Gandolfini, speaking of celebrity jackholes. Of course, you'll know him. He played the tough gangster on The Sopranos.
He's a fag.
No, don't say that.
Oh, well, maybe we're going to hold on to that piece of tape till after you hear this story.
Oh, sorry.
It might be appropriate. The New York Post says he was spotted at Williams Sonoma in Manhattan this week buying vegetable choppers and margarita mix with a small black and white dog by his side.
Wow. He's a fag.
Well,
see, that's his voice.
Who
that's him saying that.
That good an actor.
That's true.
What a flimsy, vegetable chopping, margarita swilling, little dog having guy he was.
If that's true, he's the best actor ever.
He is the greatest actor ever.
I know that Mike is with me on this. Williams and Sonoma rocks. It's an awesome store.
What?
Excuse me?
It is.
Well, I'll agree with you.
Who would have gone that
direction?
This is about... I'm just saying it's an awesome store. That's all.
I'm just saying. You're flimsy as hell.
There are fans in their car right now saying, what?
That's true.
Although I do love me some Bed Bath & Beyond.
Stop it!
I know you do.
I do too.
How do you guys go there? Well, this is a James Gandolfini
like
story.
Like a toy store for grown-ups, that Bed Bath & Beyond. I got myself an ice crusher the other day. Oh, is
that
great?
The best.
Boy, that was really gay.
I got a new pillow.
Oh, pillows are good there. Mm-hmm. I got some good pillows.
Shut the F up.
No, but they got all kinds of interesting appliances and things you can use for
you
the
never
for
know
the
what
story
do.
Is
That's
about
true.
James Gandolfini.
I got a water pick.
Remember the water picks?
Yes.
You got to get
they
yourself a water
those?
Pick. Yeah, those are good.
Wow.
Isn't there something more advanced and better than the water pick by now?
Man, this is weak.
Now, the water pick is still 10 times better for you than flossing. You get 10 times more debris and stuff out between your teeth with the water pick.
I didn't know that.
Dude, yeah. Lame.
I recommend it highly. Okay. Had a good Bed Bath & Beyond trip the other day.
You go with the guys?
Yeah. Everybody got some beers afterwards.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
Talked about Brett Favre. Here's another reason not to vote for John McCain. Big and Rich have just written a song for his campaign.
Oh, no.
Finally, someone's going to let them use a song for his campaign.
They annoy me.
Big and Rich, if, in case you don't know. First of all, God bless you if you don't know.
Yeah.
But
you're lucky.
They are a pair of country music jackholes who are just so freaking obnoxious.
Yeah. They really are.
They really are.
Obnoxious.
They've written a new song for the McCain campaign called We're Raising McCain.
Yeah.
Okay.
God.
Here's some lyrics. He stayed strong, stayed extra long, till they got all the other boys out. Talking about his years as a POW in Vietnam. Now we've got a real man with an American plan, and we're going to put him in the White House. We're all just raising McCain.
Wow. At least finally there's a song that the senator can use that the musical artist isn't going to complain about, which has
right.
been what's happened to him so far.
He said, hey, don't use our song.
So everybody else is going to complain about it, though.
Now Big and Rich will be releasing Raisin McCain soon, so please enjoy.
I saw on MTV the other day, they were showing some snippets of some of the YouTube political videos, and there was a bunch of housewives got together and did their little dance and little song to the McCainiac, to the tune of Maniac. We're McCainiacs,
oh.
McCainiacs, I
oh,
know.
Everyone, God. Stop it.
I know. People are into it.
Good news now, though, is AC/DC is releasing a new version called Barack in Black so that they can counter that. So we'll have some rock.
That's the way I like it.
Barack in Black! Tom Cruise is part of a $250 million federal lawsuit.
Yeah, this is something.
An ex-Scientologist named Peter Ketteris. Ketterisi? I don't know. Look it up. He's got a lawsuit that he is filing, claiming racketeering charges against the Church of Scientology. He says that Tom is the Scientology head, and that David Miscavige is the right-hand man for foreign and domestic promotion, as well as for foreign and domestic lobbying. And he has been acquiring funds in the multiple tens of dollars, has been using the money inappropriately. So racketeering charges with Tom Cruise and David Miscavige. From the Scientology Church.
I don't get this because, first of all, does he hold an official position in the church? And if, I mean, just because he's a practicing Scientologist, he's not on the board or anything like that, right?
I don't think the lawsuit against Tom will stick, but against Scientology, I think he might have a case.
Well, Peter also claims that since he's left the organization, he has been harassed by Scientology. That's just frivolous, as you can tell. That's just a crazy
What are his
claim.
Crimes?
No way could that
Yeah,
happen.
What are his crimes? Ever. That's what I'd like
exactly.
to know.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's what we know.
How's it racketeering if they collect money and do exactly what you think they're going to do with it, which is promote their nutty religion?
I think racketeering is all about how you get the money. If you're swindling people out of the money, if you're making false claims, if you're getting money from members of the church under duress.
Right, I
think it's like when the gangsters come in and they say, you know, it'd be a shame if something happened to your dry cleaning business here. You know, accidents happen, but if you give us $500 a week,
we'll make sure it doesn't.
We can make sure that your place is taken care of. It's that kind of stuff, you know.
Gotcha.
So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm sure he included the Tom Cruise name into the lawsuit just to get some attention for it.
Probably.
Sure.
Makes more sense. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tempest Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Remember her from The Cosby Show. She was Felicity.
No, she was no, that doesn't sound right.
She was Laguna. Laguna Huxtable.
That doesn't sound right either.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Vanessa. She was Vanessa Huxtable. That's who she was. She's 35. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows is 44 years old today. His cornrows are just two, though. Extensions, you know. He's got extensions.
Sure.
Oh, endurance.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. Not even real.
I don't doubt
He's made a career out of his freaking dreads.
Well, his hair is singing, too.
No, mostly no, this is the dreadlocks.
Okay.
Not even real.
All right.
Coolio.
Oh, Coolio.
Coolio. He's 45 years old today. I wonder if he's going to make his own cake. He's been cooking a lot lately.
I imagine so.
Chuck D of Public Enemy is 48 years old today. And the mother effer who is responsible for...
What?
You know how much I hate the Garfield, right?
Yes.
Worst comic strip in the history of mankind. The guy who's right up there. This bastard. I hope this is his last birthday. That's what I'm telling you. Tom Wilson, who's created Ziggy. Ziggy. Oh, yeah. Ziggy. Freaking Ziggy. Ooh. Oh, I'm at the complaint department. F that cartoon. Worst. Ziggy. Ziggy. That's all I need to tell you.
Just Ziggy.
Ziggy. Not Tom Wilson is 77 years old today. Hate Ziggy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Parade Magazine is one of those inserts that goes in the Sunday paper. Maybe you saw the interview with David Hasselhoff this past weekend in the LA Times. I'm on Hasselhoff.com right now, his new web space, which, yeah, by the way, is more than a website. It's a social networking site.
Right.
Hoff is trying to bring Hoff fans together. Here's what it says. David Hasselhoff is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most watched TV star in the world. He is more than an actor, a singer, or an entertainer. He's a global icon who has dominated the world of TV, films, and music for over four decades, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That's what it says on Hasselhoff.com. We've got the Hoff on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, David.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, is this David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm all right.
I got that right, Hasselhoff.com. That's your new website where you're meeting fans?
Nope.
It's not. That's what you said in Parade.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
They went on to ask him about being a judge on America's Got Talent, mm-hmm, and is it difficult to tell people no?
Nope.
And he says, no, it's really not. You're doing him a favor by being honest with him.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And then you went on to talk about some of the auditions that you had earlier in your career.
No rejection.
You got a lot of rejection.
No rejection.
You didn't get any rejection?
No rejection.
I know rejection.
You know about
you know rejection.
I know rejection.
Okay. So even though you had hit series like Knight Rider and Baywatch, and you've appeared in movies, there are some times where you went up for a part where you did not get the job.
Nope.
There aren't times like that.
Yes.
There are times like that.
Yeah, nope.
Okay. You mentioned some pretty big movies, some pretty iconic roles that you were up for, David. Are you telling the truth about some of these jobs you tried to get?
This is a mess.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, listeners, could you have seen Superman as David Hasselhoff instead of Christopher Reeve?
I auditioned for that.
Superman.
You tried out for Superman?
I auditioned for that and they said no.
Oh, that's too bad.
You want to hear the audition?
Yeah. Do we have
I kept the audition tape.
Fantastic.
This is the audition.
This is, I think, when Lois Lane first interviews Superman.
Would you like a glass of wine?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Should we get started with the interview? Are you married?
Yes. No. Yes.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes. No. Yes.
How old are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, I get it. You don't want anyone to know how old. Okay.
Yeah.
And how big are you? How tall are you?
No.
6'4". And how much do you weigh?
Oh, I don't know.
225?
Yes. No.
I assume then that the rest of your bodily functions are normal?
Yes.
Well then. Oh, my God.
See, that's a totally different direction than how Chris Reeve went with it, I guess.
I know. A bit better.
So they said no to you?
They said no.
Wow, that's shocking. Hard to believe.
They said no to Hop.
Wow.
They said no to me.
So you didn't get Superman. What else did you try?
Nope.
What else did you audition for?
E.T.
E.T.?
Yep.
To be
now,
who?
Who would you have played?
E.T.
You were going to play the alien who visits Earth?
Yep. Spielberg said no.
Well, I think he made the right choice in that decision.
That was great.
You were great.
Yes. You want to hear the audition?
Yes, please.
I have that tape as well.
All right.
E.T., can you say that? Can you say E.T.?
No.
E.T.
No. Enough.
You should give him his dignity. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is a mess. Rojo.
Phone?
No, no.
He said phone?
No.
He said phone?
No.
Can't you understand?
I don't feel good.
He said phone.
I don't feel good.
Oh, no.
This is a mess.
Oh, no.
That was a mess.
Oh, maybe you should have not had some drinks before that audition.
Nope.
Maybe you should have stayed sober.
Yeah, I think it's best.
Drew Barrymore got me drunk.
She did.
Well, that's possible. That is possible. It's best to keep you away from the kids. And I find this one hard to believe because I can't picture anyone but Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones. But Steven Spielberg said no to you, Hoff, in that role.
I know. He could have known me a lot.
Sounds like it.
Should know me in Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T. Wasn't you in my audition, E.T.?
What?
I mean, you want to see my audition in Raiders of the Ark?
What?
You want to hear my audition for Raiders of the Ark?
Oh, do we want to hear his audition for Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, this is the beginning with an idol.
Throw me the idol.
Okay.
No time to argue. Throw me the idol. I throw you the whip.
This is a mess.
Adios, senor.
Oh, this is a big rock. Oh, I wish I could run. Oh, this is a mess. Oh, this is a mess. This is a mess. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right.
That was a mess.
How could they say no to that?
I know. America's got talent. And I'm America.
Yeah, well.
I should have been Indiana Jones.
You should have been Indiana Jones?
Well, you've done all right for yourself, though, David.
Nope.
You should have been E.T., if you ask me. That was a tour de force.
Yeah. I'm all right.
Why do you keep saying that? We're not asking.
I'm all right.
All right.
We're going to let you.
I should have been Superman, too.
Should have been Superman?
Well, you can't live in the past. You got to move on.
I should have been Regis.
What are you talking about?
Well, Regis is Regis.
Regis.
He's respected.
Right.
Yeah. I should have been Batman.
Did you try out for Batman?
Nope. I should have been Iron Man.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't see any of those working out for you.
You should just be happy being the Hoff, I think, David.
This is a mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You alright?
Oh, no.
What's happening?
Everything. Oh, boy. This is a mess.
Wow.
America's got talent.
Huh?
America's got talent?
Right.
Yeah.
We should watch.
Okay.
Hasselhoff.com.
Alright.
Oddly enough, I speak this. Can't hear you now.
Let's talk about the Internet Roundup for a second. It's a section, a very special section in the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com where we direct you to some of the videos that have caught our attention in recent days. Hey, I watched your Tito video this morning, Kevin.
I destroyed him, didn't I?
You and Tito playing foosball, the fastest game I've ever seen anyone play foosball before. He owned you.
He owned me, yeah. That's
he
true.
Worked you.
Right, but other than that, I did well.
But it was still fun, still entertaining, still worth checking out at KROQ.com.
In the Internet Roundup, we've got some new stuff for you to look at.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Ralph was talking yesterday about the Mr. T commercials for Snickers.
Mm-hmm. Very controversial.
Very funny, though. Very funny. And we put up some links so that you can go see it. This one is the one with soccer. And a guy falls down and starts grabbing his leg like they do on every play in soccer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
To try and get the refs, notice so he'll call a penalty. And Mr. T shows up in a tank.
Quit your jibber jabber. You ain't hurt. You pathetic.
If I ever catch you acting like a crazy fool again, you're going to meet my friend Pain. Snickers, get some nuts.
Mr. T ought to be a ref at the upcoming Summer Olympics in soccer. He really ought to. They ought to let him be the guy.
Yep.
You know, throw you out and introduce you to his friend Payne if you're flopping around like that.
Every once in a while, you'll see somebody get a yellow card for that. The ref will see it very clearly and will penalize them for flopping, but they not very often.
Yeah.
Mr. T does another Snickers ad here.
Listen up, suckers. It's me, the one they call T. It's time to teach you fools some basic man rules. Men like sports, girls and cars. Men don't go to fancy cocktail bars. Real men have fun when they're out. They don't go to wine bars to pose and pout. So fools, you better change, or your face is something I'll rearrange. I'm armed with Snickers, and I ain't messing. Mr. T is going to teach you a lesson.
God bless Mr. T.
Isn't he the best?
Yes.
We put a link up for, this is a really strange one. A guy goes out and does interviews, and he reads a statement to people. And then he asks them, is this our president, President Bush? Did he say that? Mm-hmm. Or was it Batman? President Bush or Batman?
Whether we bring our enemies to justice or justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
Batman.
That was Bush. This nation is freedom's home and freedom's defender.
Look, guys, that's nonsense. To me, this is all nonsense, man. But the guy's an idiot. He's a coke addict. Mm-hmm. His brains are destroyed. That's the only way he'll escape punishment for his crimes.
That guy took it a little too seriously, but okay.
Wow.
All right. So you're saying President Bush?
Comedy here, sir.
We also put up some earthquake reactions, just the funny ones, because people really do freak out.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's the first one they feel, they freak out a little bit more than anyone else. This the one that we're going to play for is the Cosmos gal, and she's, I don't know, reading horoscopes or something. She's standing in front of it, and she feels the earthquake, and literally, while recording, runs off screen and starts yelling at the cameraman to come with her and stand in the door.
The stars have your back, so you can keep your cool. There's an earthquake. Oh, my God. Get in the doorway, Andy. Andy, get in the doorway right now.
Oh, that's pretty good, huh? Are you okay?
Oh, my God. Are we still recording? Holy I think that was the first earthquake I've ever experienced.
Andy, get in the effing doorway.
Maybe like, if she were a little better with her horoscope, she might have predicted that. Might have seen that come.
There's also a link there for Judge Judy while she was recording
the
earthquake hit and the cast of Big Brother 10. And our favorite part is when the muscular guy takes off his shirt. I don't know why.
That guy's a tool.
Why he does that, but he does.
Because he was going to fight the earthquake, Kevin.
Take it on. Come on, earthquake. Bring it. And there's a new retarded policeman up.
Oh,
yeah!
Yeah, we love the retarded policeman. All 14 episodes are up at krock.com at the Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. But number 14 is retarded policeman takes a bribe.
Hey, good news.
What?
I'm now accepting bribes.
What are you talking about?
You can give me money instead of getting a ticket. It's the new thing.
Taking bribes is against the law.
Well, so it's been an asshole, but... That hasn't stopped you.
What?
Zing! Help us with spare change.
There. Knock yourself out.
Thanks, dumbass. Here's your ticket.
You wrote me a ticket anyway? I thought we had a deal.
Here's the new deal. Go f*** yourself.
Oh! Retarded policeman. Come on.
That's harsh.
Taking it out on people. You got to see the retarded policeman. It is the funniest thing on the internet. And you can
it's everyone's dream if they're going to get pulled over by him, by the way.
There's just high. There's Officer Monkey. There's Coked Up. There's racial profiling. There's the writer's strike, the sobriety test, the MILF, fish, taser. One of the funniest ones is taser. Boobies, Mexicans, old lady, casual Friday, Hellboy 2 mime, and bribes.
Awesome.
And you have to look at them all. KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
My name is Kevin Robinson.
If he's going for world record status, man, that's going to be huge. And especially knowing Kevin, he's going huge.
You know, that's the one aspect of riding I've always loved, and that's what's always made me love riding, is being able to cross that fear barrier regardless of the consequences.
Pretty scared, but excited, but pretty scared still.
Today went great. I'm really excited just about the whole ramp and the way I felt on it today. Had a couple sketchy landings, which I'm glad because it just kind of gets me ready to gear up for what to do in case something happens.
Flying down the ramp at 45 miles per hour, BMX rider Kevin Robinson soared 27 feet above the quarter pipe to set a new world record.
I
BMX legend Kevin Robinson has been at every single X Games since they started back in 1995. Kevin, before it was even called the X Games, back when it was still Extreme Games, Kevin was already participating. Isn't that unbelievable? And he's there again, of course, this weekend. In fact, we've got him on the phone right now on the Kevin Beach on camera. Good morning, Mr. Robinson.
How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Good. Thanks for joining us. Still get pumped? Still get excited this weekend every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is such a great event. You know, it's just grown to something that I never imagined it would grow to. So it's definitely been an amazing ride.
Did you, at the beginning, did you kind of feel like you had topped out? When did the X Games start? 94, 95?
95 it started, yeah.
Did you feel like, wow, this is as good as it's going to get? Because it so has surpassed that by now.
Oh, my God. You know, I never in a million years imagined that it would turn into this. You know, when it first started, we kind of almost thought, you know, it was a bunch of, you know, kind of hokey people from ESPN that didn't know anything about what we were doing. And, you know, we didn't know what it was going to turn into. And never in my wildest dreams did I imagine it would grow to this.
It has to be such a weird feeling for you two being such a great competitor and also being so much older than a lot of the other guys that are out there that look up to you as, you know, you're the reason I got into the sport kind of deal.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like when you talk to kids that ride now that never knew riding before the X Games, you know, riding, you know, our sport started back in the late 70s, you know, and, you know, most kids have no idea the history of, you know, where BMX came from or where the tricks came from. So it's pretty funny to hear that.
Yeah, there's a whole generation of people that have never been alive without X Games.
It's true.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Like Kevin, your girls, I mean, that's their whole life. It's their favorite sport. They don't remember before it existed, sure. Yep. Which is great because that means you got fans for, you know, you'll have fans forever, you know.
Yeah.
The sport is healthy. How'd you get into BMXing? How young were you when you got started riding bikes?
I was about, you know, I mean, I started riding bikes when I was, you know, like 3 or 4 years old, but actually getting into, you know, what I do now, I was about 10 years old. I BMX raced and went with a bunch of friends to BMX races on Sundays, and in between races, we started seeing commercials of the guy doing tricks, and that's what we started doing, messing around doing tricks in between the races, and built a ramp in my friend's yard, and next thing you know, I'm sitting here talking to you guys.
What was the first time you got injured, pretty seriously? Was that in your neighbor's yard or was it in a competition?
First real serious injury was at a show, actually, and my first injury was I broke my leg. So yeah, and then shortly after that I shattered my pelvis.
And then
you do not want to hear the words shatter and pelvis
ever
together.
And then on started the list.
You know, it's so funny. We've talked to so many of the stars of X Games this year and every year, and not one of them has ever said they had a serious injury and thought about quitting. It's always a question of how fast can I come back?
Always. You know, I've never, you know, the shattered pelvis was probably the only one that actually maybe set me back a little bit. But other than that, you know, I just, my biggest thing is, all right, how can I heal up and get back on my bike?
Were you there last night for the Big Air skateboard?
Yeah, I was sitting right there watching. Yeah, it was amazing.
Danny Way comes down, completely wipes out. 5 minutes of medical attention. I think he broke his foot. All right, he's going back up to do it again. That's crazy.
You just get, it's something clicks in your mind. You just get in this mindset that you just, you know, you came there to put on a show and you came there to do your job and that's what you want to do. And just to have that self-accomplishment and persevere through your adversities is, you know, that's, I think it's just built into us.
Persevering through adversities means your thigh is a little tight. It doesn't mean you have a broken ankle. Yeah. You're going to go back up. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then he wiped out again and went back up.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Kevin. When you're doing the Big Air, you're doing it tonight, right?
Yes.
BMX Freestyle Big Air, tonight at 5:45 at Staples. Mm-hmm. Do you watch when other competitors go, and does it give you any pause when you see someone else wipe out?
It's hard if someone that goes right before you wipes out. You just got to really remove yourself from it. I try not to really look at it. Like if they're laying down there and, you know, obviously, most of the time it's one of my friends, so
right.
I'm worried about how they are, but I kind of got to remove myself from it, because if you sit there and get too caught up in it, it can start messing with your head. So, you got to separate yourself from it.
How scary was it the first time you did the Big Air on the BMX? Because I remember when the Big Air was at the X Games, and it was mainly skateboards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, 3 years ago, we had our first, you know, inaugural BMX event on Big Air, and the first time I ever rode it was at that event.
At the event.
The day of, it was the first time I we had practice, and that was the first time I ever touched the ramp. So,
and you won gold that year too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so that's just too easy.
Show it off is what that is. Hey, Kevin, this is going to be a, this may sound like a dumb question, but for those of us who don't have any experience doing this sort of action sports, can you describe what it feels like to be up there and essentially flying for the amount of time that you're in the air? What is that? What goes through your mind, and what are you aware of up there? And what's it feel like?
I mean, you're trying to think of all the, especially doing the high air stuff. You know, you're trying to think of your body position. Am I? You know, there's so many little things you have to think about. You have to be pretty analytical about every step you take, and you know, it's definitely a wild feeling. It gives you that just free floating feeling. You know, there's no better feeling. You know,
are you aware of the crowd? Do you look out and see the 40,000 people or whatever are there that are watching you? Can you see them?
Yeah, not once I'm in the air on my bike. I'm looking at the ramp. I'm looking at where I want to land.
Yeah. So, and how much of it is improv once you get up there, where you had something planned maybe, but now that you realize what's really going on, you've got to change it up and do something you didn't expect. Does that happen very often?
Yeah, it does. You know, I definitely like sticking with my game plan. As much as I can, because then you start questioning it, and you know that's when things could go wrong. So, but sometimes you have to. You see somebody do something else, and sometimes I just get caught up in the moment of the crowd and everybody screaming. And they want to see something good, and you know there's something maybe that you've been holding back that you want to do, and it's fun sometimes just pushing yourself and you know pushing yourself beyond your own limits.
That was going to be my next question, is having something that you know you have but people aren't aware of and pulling it off for the first time. Do you have something like that for this X Games for tonight?
I always have new stuff.
And what is it? What is it? Come on, what is it?
It's a trick on a bicycle.
Oh, you got it out of him, Kevin. Well done. Well, we've said this in the past, Kevin, that one of the great things about your sport and about all of the other competitors at the X Games is, you know, you go to a basketball game, football game, baseball game, you're going to see great athletes. You're going to see great action. You rarely are going to see something you've never seen before. And you can almost guarantee every single day of the X Games, something is going to be done in one of the sports. One of the competitors is going to do something that's never been done in front of people before. And that's what's amazing about it.
It is. And the great thing about it, too, is this is all done through our own minds. You know, we don't have a coach or anybody screaming at us or trying to teach us what to do or tell us what to do. You know, it's all up to you to be creative with your own mind and come up with new things and to challenge yourself. And, you know, I love watching traditional sports, but, you know, I've yet to see this new magical way to throw a football. Or this,
yeah,
new,
exactly.
So, it's true. They do it like everyone else has done it. Maybe better, but the same thing.
Yeah exactly.
Right. Yeah. This is Kevin Robinson on the phone. He's going to be competing in the BMX Freestyle Big Air tonight at 5:45 at Staples, and then the Freestyle Vert is going to be tomorrow at 4:15 out at the Home Depot. Last question for you, Kevin. And by the way, tickets available to Ticketmaster. Last question for you. Why did it take you so long to move from Pennsylvania to Southern California?
I just moved, right? I ask myself that question daily. you know, I'm from Rhode Island originally, and from Providence, and you know, that's where my family is and my wife's family is, and you know, obviously to pick up and move that, you know, far away from your family is hard. But you know, now it's so easy to jump on a plane and get my kids back to see the family. So but now that I'm here, the weather's amazing, and it's a move I'm happy I made.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Good for you. Well, welcome, and we'll be definitely looking for you. And if you're not lucky enough to go tonight, if you don't go to Ticketmaster and buy those tickets, of course, there's tons of live programming on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. Kevin Robinson, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Friday morning means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up later on today. One of the films we'll be talking about, American Teen. Well, we have cast members from that movie coming in, joining us in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. So we're going to meet some actual teens.
Yeah, ooh. They're not really cast members as much as they are subjects, because it is a documentary.
Yeah, and real life.
Real life. And I saw the movie yesterday, and I got to tell you, it is outstanding.
Wow.
It's really good. We'll talk more about it during Movie Beat, but it is, I mean, it's about a, it follows a bunch of kids through their senior year in high school.
Thank God.
Easy. And the amazing thing about a film like this is that whether you're in high school right now or you've ever been to high school, the experience stays the same.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
You can totally relate to what these kids are going through every step of the way, and each one of them has their own particular challenges and successes and stuff. So
that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Will you stop it?
The geek, the princess, and the jock are all going to be joining us in the next segment here, Ralph.
Yeah. Wow. Got Jake and Megan and Colin, and I got a bone to pick with Megan when she gets in here.
Really?
Yeah. She's listening.
I got a bone to pick with Megan.
Is she in the room? She in the room? She listening?
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, she's the girl that turned us all down in high school. You know,
oh,
Megan,
sure.
So we have to give her a hard time.
She's the one that you wrote Jewish American Princess
That's
about.
That's right, yeah.
Oh,
had she been Jewish, it all would have worked out.
But
give me some payback. All right, Roddy, that's fine. 6:55. That's all coming up after the news at 7. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
All right. Let's talk about Jessica Simpson, shall we? Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
She apparently is going all out to promote her new country album. She's on the cover of the September issue of Elle magazine.
Giant size can.
Yes, they're on display. She says that she feels like so many people want to bring her down that she can't wait to prove them wrong.
Huh?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, what do we get if we're right and this album sucks and your career continues to plummet? Then what do we get?
Porn.
She has to go into porn?
That should be the deal.
Yeah. Nice melons.
I like it. She also claims in the story that her creepy daddy/manager Joe isn't ruining her love life at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She believes that John Mayer helped her become the woman she is today, so we have him to blame.
Okay.
Diseased.
And her new boyfriend, Tony Homo of the Dallas Cowgirls, is the first man who she's ever been spiritually connected with.
Because really?
You can tell Jessica's a deep, deep well.
Yeah.
And she needs someone she can connect with spiritually. I'm sure Tony feels the same way.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean, spirit? I mean, that he prays for sex with her, or what? What does that mean?
How dare you, sir?
Some organs, such as your breasts, receive special attention.
Yeah. You think Nick even cares anymore, Nick Lachey, her ex?
No.
I think he pays the least bit of attention to what she says or who she's with.
He's
or
wiped that
on.
All from his memory.
Yeah, I bet he has.
These big cans are one-third larger.
Not to continue on a sexual bent, but I read this story and my head exploded.
Yes.
You know who Cassandra Peterson is, right?
Of course, yeah.
Cassandra Peterson was not only a disc jockey right here on K-Rock FM in Los Angeles,
right,
but went on to huge success and multi-million dollar salaries playing Elvira, the mistress of the dark.
She came into the studio.
She's been
and
in a couple times.
Gorgeous.
As gorgeous.
You know, she's
as
one of my all-time crushes, right, Ralph?
She is Elvira. Funny, and she's charming, and she's smart, and she's a wonderful lady. And I can't believe we've had her in a couple times that we never heard this story. Did you know that she lost her virginity to Tom Jones, the singer?
Oh, my
no.
God.
No.
Really?
When she was working as a showgirl in Las Vegas.
She was a virgin?
Yes. Now, here's the thing about Tom Jones.
It's a good question.
He was a huge star in the 60s.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just big star. He's huge. By all accounts, he's huge.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You
understand.
He's huge, yes. Really?
Okay.
Okay.
She says in an interview with Blender Magazine that Tom was a bit on the rough side with her.
Yeah.
And she, Mike's going to love this story. Yeah. And she was, keep in mind, she was a virgin.
Uh-oh.
And then when you add in his size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say Cassandra ended up later in the evening having to go to the emergency room.
Oh.
And needed stitches.
Oh.
No.
Oh. That's wrecking a woman.
He wrecked her.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
That he wrecked her, literally.
Don't you say stop before you get to that point?
Maybe if you don't know what
he's
it's
Tom
supposed
Jones?
To be like if you're a virgin, right?
Oh, my God.
It is 11 inches.
She ran back to Tom the next day thinking they would run off together, but he was already with another girl and had no interest in her.
Mom, Mother effing Jones!
See, Mike, you could never do that.
You could never do that, Mike.
I could.
No.
Nope.
With a hammer.
A penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman. But in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
True. That's a good point.
That is a good point.
And Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson are living together again.
That's nice.
Of course, Pam and Tommy have two young boys together.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam has been married 14 times since she last saw Tommy. But
Pam Anderson?
They're back together again. And she says in an interview with Contact Music that every day, every single day since they've been living together, they moved in together for the sake of their sons, he gets down on one knee and asks her to marry him again.
Really?
Yes.
Does she say, will you stop that?
Apparently she doesn't because she says she's a romantic and she gets swept up easily, but she does call Tommy the love of her life. So they say there's a potential that maybe they'll be getting married again.
Oh, wow.
Pam Anderson?
Come on.
That'd be a huge mistake, wouldn't it? Speaking of huge, we've had a theme in today's show.
Yes,
Tom
we have.
Jones and Tommy Lee. Guys named Tom, apparently, are packing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, the idea of them get, you know, they're going to get divorced. They get married. They get
married.
That's what's going to happen.
They should probably just live together.
But it feels like they don't have any option. I mean, it feels to me like they're just going to have to do it.
They are the breakup. The immovable object and the irresistible force.
Just nothing they can do about it.
They can't stay away from each other. It's just, it's love-hate.
It's like me and Lisa May.
Exactly.
Yeah, just the sexual tension. Cut it with a knife.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tempest Bledsoe from The Cosby Show is 35 years old today. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows turns 44. Coolio is 45 years old today. Don't we have some Coolio? Don't we have some Coolio on the
yes,
red carpet or something?
Take too long to find.
Okay. Maybe for the next hour. Yeah. Chuck D of Public Enemy is 48. And cartoonist Tom Wilson, the man responsible for Ziggy.
Which you love.
Oh, hey. Someone wrote, an email said, no, Family Circus is worst, right?
Oh, that is bad.
I don't read any of them. I don't know.
That's horrible. But yeah. Ziggy and Garfield have to be right up there with Peanuts.
That's what I thought. How dare you? How dare you with peanuts.
Oh, hey, Snoopy, it's supper time again.
Penis is the best.
Did you say penis is the best?
That is
peanuts is the best, is what I said.
We're going to have to check the tape. All right. That's all I got to say. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Stop it already, for God's sakes. That song goes on forever, doesn't
Turn
it?
Turn that guitar down.
12 minutes after 7 o'clock.
American Teen is the movie that we've been talking about. Today is, well, it's in theaters already, the AMC Century 15, Edwards University, Irvine. You saw it where yesterday in Sherman Oaks?
I saw the Arclight Sherman Oaks, and it's also at Arclight Hollywood, too, if you want to check it out, which is a great place to see a movie. Either
this was a big, big hit out of Sundance and getting rave reviews, and we have in studio from the movie, I almost called them actors a minute ago, but they're not. They're subjects, because it's a real-life documentary. Jake is the geek, ladies and gentlemen. He joins us. Megan the princess.
Hi.
And Colin the jock. These are three of the people in the film American Teen. How are you guys? Thanks for coming.
You guys must love having your whole lives distilled down to those little titles that we attach to your name, huh?
It's very convenient.
Now, boy, we have so many questions, and I know Ralph saw the movie and loved it, and he's got a million, too. But let me just start with some basics for people, and that is, why agree to be followed around for a whole school year by cameras? I think most people would hate that.
Well, Warsaw is a pretty boring place.
Warsaw, Indiana?
Warsaw, Indiana is where it takes place, yeah.
Yeah. It's a small town, Midwestern, nothing to do. So when an opportunity like this comes along, you just have to take it.
Why did they come to your school? Do you know?
Cornfields.
Is that why?
That's exactly why.
Wow.
Wanted some nice cornfields in the background, and that's what they found.
And then when they came to you guys, did they ask each student, or did they somehow profile and figure out you guys would be best?
Well, they were
going for... Because they could pigeonhole you?
They're going for seniors.
Right.
They
How many in your senior
like
class, by the way?
I was number 426, so there's probably like 430, 450.
There's way more than that.
A little under 500.
Yeah. So how do they distill it down from 500 kids? How do they come to you guys?
Well, they had an open casting call.
Oh, really? So you went to them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Now, everybody always says, no matter what the show is, that once you introduce a camera to the mix, people aren't behaving in a real way anymore. Did you find that that was the case, that you were playing things up or playing things down because you knew it was being filmed?
It was that way for about the first month, you know?
Yeah. No, I think the comfort level just with the director, Nanette Burstein, just became immense. I mean, you've seen the film that I'm willing to do about anything in front of the camera.
Yes, you are, young lady.
We might need to get into that
I
right
think
now.
We do.
All right, what's the problem, Ralph? You saw the movie yesterday.
Megan, who has got the media tag of the princess, she is enormously popular at the school.
Uh-huh.
She's in the student government. She's a valedictorian. She's headed to Notre Dame like the rest of her family. That's her goal.
Right.
And she is on a bit of a power trip. You're sort of the queen of the high school, and you take full advantage of that. For example, one of her fellow student government officials decides to change the theme of the prom.
Right.
Behind her back. And she doesn't like that. So she vandalizes the dude's house.
What?
TP's awesome. His house, sprays a big penis on his window, paints a big penis on his window. And she does it right in front of the camera. So part of me is saying, wow, what a bitch she is. And I'm saying, she's so stupid. They're filming her doing this. How could you just let yourself do that while the cameras were following you?
I was pissed.
I could tell you were.
No, but
because you rule with an iron fist?
Exactly.
Is that why?
But I mean, it was just like the camera was another friend. We became so comfortable with the film crew that it was just, we knew them all by name. Usually had conversations before they started taping.
But you didn't think, I don't want to, this might make me look bad, that kind of thing?
You know, I think the other thing was at the time we had no idea where the movie was going.
That's true.
We didn't think it was going to get off the ground.
Hadn't been to Sundance, hadn't done anything.
Exactly. Yeah. It was that kind makes of freelance. Sense.
So. When you look back on it, Megan, though, when you look at yourself as a senior in high school, are there any regrets for how you behaved at all?
No regrets.
No regrets.
I think I had a lesson to learn. It's a good time to get in trouble and kind of get reprimanded. And I think it kind of made me grow up pretty fast right before college and shaped me who I am today.
How about the fact that you tried to get in between your two best friends who were having a sort of a romantic relationship with each other? You were sort of a speed bump in that happening for them.
I wasn't a speed bump.
You went off and you were all bitchy at your party. You slapped poor Jeff in the face when he was trying to get with Allie.
Yeah, he deserved it.
I sound like a total loser, don't I?
Yes,
it's like The Hills. I'm so wrapped up in these people's lives.
Get yourself together, man.
I'm sorry, Colin. I'll try to pull it together. So no regrets. You looked at it and you didn't say, ooh, that doesn't make you flinch or cringe a little bit when you see your behavior?
A little cringing. I don't think I'm the same person now. I think I've done a lot of maturing.
Right.
But no, overall, I laughed. I loved the movie.
Still at Notre Dame?
Still at Notre Dame. Going to be a junior.
Go Fighting Irish.
Wow.
Now, Colin, we haven't heard much from you, but you have a pretty big, important part in the movie in that you are a basketball player and are hoping for a scholarship. Do I have that right?
Correct.
And you pretty much, I mean, you're one of those guys who you looked ahead, as I understand it, had limited options after high school, and your preference by far was to get a scholarship to go play ball. And that's pretty much what they focus on with you. You think that was fair? You happy with the way it was portrayed?
Yeah, that was pretty much my main focus senior year. I didn't have much else going on, as you could tell, other than my dad's Elvis shows.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I've seen the film, Colin's dad is an Elvis impersonator.
Ah, well, fantastic.
Sure he is. Yeah. Yes.
I have a clip from the movie where I think it's your dad saying he doesn't have money for college, so you better. Okay, here's the clip of his dad and just the tiny little bit of pressure that he's putting on him.
You know, you're going to have college recruiters there tomorrow. I would make sure that I had 12 rebounds tomorrow.
Of course.
I'm serious. Dad doesn't have money for college. But if you get 12 rebounds, everything else will fall into place. And they'll say, hey, we got to get that Clements kid on the team. Otherwise, it's the Army.
Yeah, the Army.
Oh, dude. Yeah,
Colin's really looking forward to going to the Army. That's one of his big goals, his big dreams.
Ever since I was a little kid.
The interesting thing about the film is you do see all the cast members, or the subjects rather, interact with their parents and their family, so it adds a whole other depth to it, and you see the unique situation each of them have in dealing with the pressures that their parents are putting on them coming out of high school, which is always a drag.
Yeah, that always sucks.
And did you think that was fair, Colin, in terms of how they depicted your father's relationship with you, in terms of how he wanted you to get into a school with the whole basketball thing?
Yeah, they show him kind of being not supportive, but
it's a little rough on you.
Just a little rough, yeah. And, yeah. Still, like, you can tell at the end of the day, he wanted what was best for me. And, you know, he was always truly, at the end of the day, he was supportive. And he just wanted what was best. He just kind of didn't know how to handle it. I was his oldest son, so mm-hmm. I was the first one to come through. And
he was a basketball player himself previously at the same high school. He was a Warsaw Tiger, too, right? So there's that, too.
Do most people, of course, this is Bean speaking, guys, and I don't remember anything about high school.
He's not kidding. He really doesn't.
I had a car accident and lost every memory I ever had before that. I mean, when I was back visiting where I grew up a couple of years ago, my brother drove me to our high school, and it did not even look familiar to me. I mean, I didn't even recognize the building. That's how bad it is. But when most people look back on high school, Ralph, do you think they think great times, or do you think they think, wow, did that suck, or a combination of both, or what?
I think everyone has a unique experience in high school, and the great thing about this movie is whether you were the band geek like Jake, and you were struggling socially trying to find a girlfriend, or you were the queen of the high school like Megan, or you were a jock like Colin was, you can relate to all these kids. At least something that's going on in their experience definitely will resonate with you, whether you're in high school right now or whether you went 20 years ago, because the experience is pretty much the same, I think, regardless. And Jake, are you in college now?
I have been in college the past 2 years. I'm taking a year off.
Taking a year off. Jake is the guy that I think most people's high school experience will probably relate to the most, because
certainly yours.
He doesn't quite fit in with everyone else. He doesn't really have a clique or a group that he can hang with. He's pretty much hanging out there on his own, trying to find his own way. And you got to feel for the guy. He just wants to get laid. That's all. That's all he wants.
I can blame him.
I don't know if I go that far, but
we all did.
No, he's kind of romantic. He does want a girlfriend, I think, more than just getting laid. That's what I wanted. But he gets to go to San Diego to visit with his brother who's in the service down there, and they take him to Mexico, and he ends up having a pretty good time. That was my favorite part of the film. I was like cheering for Jake as he was like doing body shots and getting lap dances and stuff. It was awesome.
Nothing involving a donkey, I hope.
No, okay, there was good. No donkey show.
It was
right.
Bull.
Yeah, mechanical bull. That's right. There was a mechanical bull.
American Teen is the name of the movie. It is not. Doesn't have the budget of a Batman, and a lot of people may not have heard of it. And Ralph was mentioning he wasn't even going to go see it except for we had them in. And now
I'm sort of interested, but it wasn't on the top of my list of movies to see. But now that I've seen it, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's called American Teen. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
Talking about the documentary American Teen, it is Documentary Friday here on the Kevin DeMeade Show,
sure.
By the way, which
yeah,
is in theaters all over Southern California. You have to look for it a little bit, but it's well worth it, says Ralph, our movie guy in the studio right now. Jake, Megan, and Colin, they are three of the high schoolers in Warsaw, Indiana, who are profiled in the documentary. Do you guys, were you guys friendly at all in high school? It seems like the different archetypes here, it seems like maybe you would not have run in the same circles at all.
I had never talked to any of these people in high school. I just met them on the plane ride to Sundance.
Jake was not with the popular kids in school.
No. I wasn't with any kids.
Can I play
school.
A Jake clip?
Sure.
Him talking about his life?
I spend a lot of my time playing video games. I love The Legend of Zelda. I don't have many friends, so it's always been really important for me to have a girlfriend. To be honest, I wish life were more like video games, because then I'd always get the girl.
Oh, yeah, that's so sad. Now, you must have seen Megan around the halls of school, though. Did you ever lust after her?
Not
openly.
Really?
I don't really want to say more with her sitting right next to me.
I see.
I talked to her about later.
Yeah, sure.
You ever lust after Colin?
Yeah,
to be honest,
creepy. No.
Ralph, you had another beef with Megan the princess.
Yeah, here's the thing. Megan's the girl. She's hot, smart. You know, she's got everything going for her, and she takes full advantage of that. And she likes to sort of control her social group considerably. One of her girlfriends, this is a friend of hers, Erica,
yeah,
hooks up with one of her male friends, this guy Jeff, who I think she has secretly has the hots for, but she never admits to.
Right.
And so they hook up. And so Erica sends an email to Jeff of her topless. Right? And Megan gets a hold of it and spreads it throughout the entire high school. Sends
nicely
it to
done.
Everybody. A shot of her boobs.
That's ooh. What that should ooh. Happen.
That, how cruel is that in high school
what
to do that
happen.
To somebody in high school? How cruel is
she
that?
She did the right thing.
It because you're
internet.
A dick, you think it's the right thing.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
But imagine being Erica and having
yeah,
your high school experience just crushed because everyone's making fun of your pepperoni nipples.
Really?
Yeah. It actually says yeah. it.
That's what it says. The subject matter is in the email.
Did you name
and
it
you
that?
Still, young lady, say you have no regrets to your behavior.
No regrets. She's the one that took the nudie photo.
But you spread, you can't, you send it to everyone.
Yeah, I was just an instigator. I was a middleman. It was going to get around no matter what.
There was a site about it.
You shouldn't
it.
Be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, because you're able to rationalize your way out of anything.
There was a website for it.
Someone set up a website that people were going to of that photograph of this.
Pepperoniboobs.com?
Not quite. No. It's not there anymore. I think it was like erica.tk or something.
Yeah, it was tragic.
Oh. The poor girl.
I felt so bad for her. But Megan apparently doesn't.
No, she doesn't feel bad about anything.
No, she doesn't.
Some kid in China got a very inside look at Warsaw.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys, you know, I think we're so ruined by The Hills and all these other sort of pseudo-documentaries that are on MTV and stuff. Was any of this documentary staged? Because it almost plays like a real movie. It's so well shot and well edited together that it seems almost it could have been written the way the whole stories play out with everything. Was any scenes that they have to stage anything while you were shooting any of it?
No, the only thing that maybe might have been was animation, just because
right.
it was our dream. Like, you know, obviously like,
yeah.
she wanted us to sound excited when we were talking about it, but other than that, I mean, everything else you see on camera was real.
This is an animated movie?
When they go into, like, their hopes and dreams for the future, when they have their fantasy sequences, everyone's sequence is sort of, while they're talking about it, they animate
animated,
it,
yeah.
so you get to visualize it as well as
see
the
cockpit.
It's a very cool part of the film. But I know Hannah, one of the girls, for example, has a horrible breakup with her boyfriend, and the cameras are right there while she's telling her best friend that it happened. And you just see her melt down. It's like, wow, who would let someone film that? You know, it was brutal.
That's rough.
They shot over your director, Nanette Burstein, shot over 1,000 hours of video and then edited it down to whatever the 2 hours or whatever it ended up being. So she had a lot of good stuff to choose from. But it does sound like a fascinating look at high school, whether you remember it or not. It's called American Teen. It's open in a bunch of theaters here in Southern California, including the Arc Lights and AOC. AMC Century 15, Edwards University Irvine. I think it's also at the Grove. You ought to check it out. Sounds like, Ralph, like you said, one of your favorite movies of 2008 so far.
It really is. And I couldn't help but think as I was watching, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a British documentary called 7-Up, but there was a series that they did where every 7 years, they started with a bunch of kids at 7, and every 7 years they went back and did another documentary on their lives.
Oh, where were they?
7-Up, 14-Up, 20-Up. Every 7 years you get to check in with those people again. Has there been any discussion about a sequel of this for you guys, maybe the senior year in college or where you're going to be at years from now to kind of follow up and see who you've become and what happens?
There hasn't really been a discussion on it. I don't think that's really what Nanette intended.
Right. Would you be interested if there was one?
I don't think any of us are really into it.
No?
Actually, Mitch and I talked about it yesterday on the plane. Yeah.
So hell no, you're saying?
Hell no.
Really?
It's a possibility.
Because the things you do now are so much more evil that you don't want anyone to see them in a movie. Is that why?
If this was super successful, I mean, we might have to, you know.
Sure. It'd be interesting.
If it was a bombshell, we might.
Because I can tell you guys have already changed so much just since high school. It'd be interesting to see where you end up, you know.
All right.
Great, great movie.
Sounds fantastic.
American Teen.
American Teen, search it out. Jake, Megan, Colin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Today's the 1st of August, by the way, which means 1 week from tonight, 8:08, opening ceremony, Beijing Olympics. Kevin, I know you've been excited. I know you've been looking forward to this for 4 years now.
Well, I love the Olympics, but I especially love the opening ceremony because they try to encapsulate all of human life and civilization, and they try to put it into interpretive dance, and it's always terrible. And
details
I love
are,
it.
I know it is bad because, and then it takes like 2 hours to parade representatives from each nation to come out, and they're all then they have to describe everything that they're wearing and why and the symbolism. It's a 3.5-hour ceremony with over 10,000 people participating. It's going to be next Friday night, of course, live on NBC. And more and more details are starting to leak out. There's a lot of stuff to keep it undercover, like how are they going to light the Olympic flame, for instance, in the stadium? We don't know how they're going to do that yet. But one of the things that has been announced officially is the official mascots of the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games. And I can't get my head around what all these little creatures are.
This is... I thought it was a joke. I mean, we had to double check to say, really? This is what they're going with for the mascot? We have a picture of it up at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Just click on Kevin and Bean, and you'll see the five mascots. There's a fish. Looks like a little doll, though. Not really a fish. And then there's a panda that looks kind of like a panda doll. And then there's the Olympic flame. It's a doll with its hair on fire. They all look like Hello Kitty, by the way. They're just like little children. Then there's the Tibetan antelope, and then there's the swallow. But they all look like little Hello Kitties. They're very, very similar and very, very childish.
Mm-hmm. Why five mascots? Is that so they can sell five times the merchandise?
Dude.
T-shirts, plush toys, all that kind of stuff?
You don't know anything. There's five Olympic rings, man.
Oh, that's true.
There's five Olympic rings and there's a mascot for each one that's inspired by the color I don't know.
Well, let's find out all the details about Beijing 2008 mascots, because I believe we have the panda on the phone, the actual official panda that is one of the mascots of the games that start next Friday. Hi, Panda.
Hey, round nine. How you doing? How you go today?
We go good.
I am thinking.
You're the panda mascot?
I am thinking, the panda. Welcome to Beijing. Welcome to Olympics.
And what do you represent?
I represent the forest. Ooh,
okay.
Forest. And I am the forest. Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
It says in your description, Jingjing, that you are an athlete noted for strength who represents the black Olympic ring. I'm a little bit surprised to see an Asian representing a black.
How dare you, Round Eye? We embrace all colors and creeds and religion here at Olympics.
Well, that's why there are other mascots as well, not just you, right?
That's why I represent the strength. Because black guys are strong.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I am also very strong. I'm a panda.
Right.
You're a panda, right.
I could rip that flesh off your bones.
Well, I hope you don't.
But I won't because I'm very fat and lazy.
Okay.
Right. But if I wanted to, and give me a couple of months to train and lose some weight, I could kill you.
Now, there are four other mascots. You got the fish.
Yes, Bebe.
Bebe.
Bebe. Hey, Bebe. Hey, Bebe. Hey.
What does Bebe represent?
Why don't you ask her?
Is she there?
I'm Bebe right here.
Fantastic.
Okay, all
right. Put Bebe on the phone.
Hello.
Hi, is this Bebe?
Yes, this is Bebe.
Now, according to the official press release, you are a fish. You are a design. Your symbol is of representing prosperity and harvest, it says here.
That's right. I represent the water.
Uh-huh.
And...
Baby, you sound like Jing Jing doing a voice.
No.
Okay.
No, I represent the harvest of the sea.
The harvest of the sea.
Okay.
Yes, because the Asians eat a lot of fish.
Oh, I see.
Right? Eat a lot of fish. You're gentle and pure.
I am gentle, and I was pure until last night.
What happened last night?
Oh, that's
I
too bad.
I gave up the back door.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes, to Jing Jing.
Oh, okay. Jing Jing.
And he liked Tom Jones.
That's quite a reference.
Shut up. Now I'm a Filet-O-Fish.
Oh, I see. All right. So you represent the blue Olympic rig. So we got you are blue, Panda is black. Who's the red Olympic rig? Who's that person?
I don't know. My story printed in black and white.
Oh, no.
I think that's the Olympic flame as the red one.
Alex gave you a story?
Someone named Alex, yes.
Let's talk to Juan, please.
What?
Juan, the Olympic flame,
okay.
Yes.
Juan, I want to talk to you.
Yes. Hey, what's up, eh?
Hey, Juan.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm Chinese.
Welcome to Beijing Olympics, man.
Okay, you are outgoing and enthusiastic. You excel at all the ball games, and you represent the red Olympic ring. Yet it sounds like you're from East LA. What's going on?
Whatever. I don't know. It's just a job, man.
Oh, so you're just, oh, I see. So you just took this part-time job.
Yeah, they say you want to go to China and, you know, be at the Olympics. I'm like, whatever.
Okay.
I got nothing here, man.
All right. What about the?
Want to buy some Yale? I'm the Olympic flame. I, like, smoke you out, too. You
really?
Know?
Wow.
I got it all, man.
That sounds good.
Man, yeah, you're my favorite so far, I'll tell you that.
These Asians are eating up. There's not a lot of drugs here.
Really?
No, it's amazing. Like, never seen none of it.
I think you can get in a lot of trouble there.
I'm going to be rich, man.
Can we talk to Ying Ying, the Tibetan antelope?
Oh, Ying Ying.
Yes.
That's my bitch, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Ying Ying, get over here.
Oh.
Get over here.
Hello.
You're a Tibetan antelope?
Sure.
It says here that you are a quick-witted and agile boy who represents the yellow Olympic ring.
Yes.
How do you represent that?
I got agile because Juan's chasing me.
Yeah. Juan, you mean Juan?
Juan.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He says you're his bitch.
Whatever.
Okay.
Do antelopes go...
I don't think so.
I don't think so. As a Tibetan antelope, though, does this mean that China will make you watch the games from outside the stadium?
Yes, and then they'll set me on fire.
That's what I thought.
Is Nini there?
Nini
the swallow.
Sure, Nini. Come here.
Nini the swallow.
Nini?
Nini?
I don't think it's that kind of swallow. I think you're the bird. The golden-winged swallow is who you are. You're innocent and joyful as a swallow, strong in gymnastics and representing the green Olympic ring.
Hey, Nini, do these mascots seem lame to you?
That's what I thought, yeah. Kevin's going out of town with a boy this weekend. How about that? Leaving at 1 o'clock today.
Going to Chicago, see Lollapalooza, see Rage Against the Machine.
Who are you going with?
See Radiohead.
Who are you going with?
Nine Inch Nails.
Who are you going with?
Kanye West.
Who are you going with?
Dave.
The Armenian comedian, by the way, apparently is very, very angry at us, so that couldn't make us happier. We'll talk to him after the news at 8. First, at 7:55, Friday morning. Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, Russell Brand, the British comedian who has been tapped to be the host of the MTV Video Music Awards, says he is nervous.
It's a good choice, by the way. I think he'll do a great job.
I do, too. He's a reverend, and he's funny, and he's out there, but he's also very sharp and articulate, and I think he'll be a good host.
He was the rock star in Sarah Marshall?
Exactly. Okay. Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He apparently is nervous because you can say different things on British television that you cannot say on American television.
Yeah.
He said, I've been warned when I'm presenting, that's what they call hosts over there in England.
Presenters.
That there are two things I am never allowed to say. One is... C word.
Sure.
Right.
Not the boy C word, the female C word.
Right.
Because they use that a lot. It's sort of like they call you like an a-hole or a bitch over there.
Right.
They use the female C word.
Right.
The other word, Scientology. He jokes. He says, there was one sentence that I could join both of those words together, but I'm going to try not to say it. So, yeah. I think he's going to be very, very entertaining. I'm looking forward to it. It's here, though. It's the only problem.
Yeah.
Dad is here.
It's in LA. Usually we get to go on a little business trip whenever it's someplace else in the country. Miami and Vegas and that kind of stuff.
New York.
It's going to be here.
Yeah.
Paramount Studios. Right down, down on Melrose.
We can stay in a hotel over there.
Can we?
Yeah, cool. Sure.
Gary Coleman's got a new gig.
Yes.
You know, that little virgin midget from Different Strokes. 40-year-old Gary Coleman.
Sure.
He has just signed a contract with the Madison Mallards Northwoods League baseball team.
No.
What? Is he a starting pitcher?
Is he a mascot?
No, he is going to be the leadoff hitter at the...
come again?
On Friday's game.
Choo-choo!
Isn't he like 45 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, 45 years old and 3 feet.
Apparently it's hard to get people to come see baseball games in the Northwoods League, which I'm not even sure where the Northwoods League is. But the Madison Mallards are giving him a one-day contract, much like the Yankees did with Billy Crystal.
Yes.
Right. Sort of a publicity stunt.
Can you imagine trying to pitch to him? It's impossible.
You'd walk him every time.
But that was preseason with Billy Crystal. This is a game that counts.
Yeah, but it
but
counts.
But it's the Northwoods League, right, or whatever that is.
That's not even...
Yeah. That's... Northwoods League is the premier summer collegiate baseball league in the country. Summer Collegiate Baseball League. Couldn't get any more low rent. Anyway, they're giving Gary a one-day contract so he can show up and play.
That'd be awesome if he stepped up and just drove one out.
That'd be amazing.
We find out he's had this hidden talent to be a Manny Ramirez-type slugger his whole life, and now he's just...
come to play for the Dodgers.
That's right. How about that? And Gordon Ramsay may not win the award for the most supportive spouse in the world. This is the British celebrity chef who does Hell's Kitchen.
I didn't know he was married.
Oh, yeah.
All I know is he yells a lot. Boy. I never watched that. But
he's married. He's got a couple kids.
Oh.
4 children, actually.
Okay.
He, in a recent interview, told a newspaper that he's got 4 kids, but he was honest with his wife when she was having them that he did not want to be in the room while she was having the children.
Okay.
Mostly because he did not want to see her vagina punished like that. His fear was once he saw that, he would never be able to be attracted to her again.
Really?
That happens, doesn't it, Ralph, to some couples?
He said, we have the most amazing life. We're very active in the bedroom, and I think you're a beautiful lady, but I don't want to see something coming out of a sort of sci-fi movie. I don't want to see a skinned rabbit or skinned pigeon coming out of your ninny.
Oh, he's
and
very get attractive.
He's a charmer.
And then get excited about it.
Very nice.
So maybe not the most supportive husband in the world.
He's a douche.
I have heard of couples where the guy just can't look at his wife as a sexual object anymore once she becomes a mother, partly because of that, because they realize the babies come from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's news to everyone.
That's dumb.
But there's one thing known about it, Lisa, and there's another thing, just...
I think it's less to seeing that than actually having the problem with transferring from wife to mother. That's probably what it really is.
Could be. I don't know. Looks all alien and whatnot down there sometimes.
Well, you don't have to put your...
back.
I'm just saying.
You don't have to put your head there.
creature comes right out of their inside.
It's not an alien.
It's just like a science fiction movie.
Right, but it isn't an alien. It's a baby. It's a human.
Things happen and bad things happen.
It seems like it's only been in the...
last
10 years or 15 years that guys were ever in the room where the woman had the baby. Usually the tradition was you wait out in the lobby and they come
better.
In.
That was
present
better.
Your baby when it's all cleaned up.
That was
chain
better.
Smoke.
Yeah, just smoke.
Yeah.
Just hand out cigars.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Gordon Ramsay says, give the baby to me when it's all nice and cleaned up and ready to go.
Oh, he's going to be good with diapers.
And a year old, by the
way. He's got 4 kids, so he's been through this. Yeah, he's right. They're wrong.
He is right.
And continuing my storyline of when bad things happen to good vaginas.
Yes.
Cassandra Peterson, our friend, had her on the show a couple times.
So Belle!
She was not only Mistress of the Dark, but also a K-Rock jock.
She was, yeah.
Used to hang with Rodney Bingenheimer back in the day.
I love her so much.
Cassandra did. Here's an interesting story that we've had her on the show. We've never found this out about her. In Blender Magazine, she did an interview saying that she lost her virginity to the famous singer Tom Jones.
Lost her virginity?
Lost her virginity to him while she was working as a showgirl in Las Vegas.
It's hard to imagine anyone is a showgirl in Las Vegas and still a virgin.
Yeah.
She must have done it very, very young.
Very young, yeah.
First night.
However, here's the thing about Tom Jones you may or may not know. He is overly equipped. He has an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the genital region. This is not a small dude.
I don't understand what you're saying.
She said he was rough on her also when they were engaging in the act. Uh-oh. And then when you add in his enormous size, uh-oh, he really did some damage.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Cassandra said she had to go to the emergency room afterwards and needed stitches.
That is vagina. Awesome.
Didn't that put you off sex for a while?
Yeah.
For about a week.
She said the next day she went back to see Tom because she had a crush on him. She thought maybe they would run off together, but he was already with another girl by that point.
Yes. Oh,
24 hours later, he was already had already moved on to someone else.
Dude, if you have sex with a woman and put her in the hospital, you are bringing it.
That's good times.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's bad. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Wilson. He created Ziggy, and I'll never forgive him. He is 77.
Oh, you.
That's right. Chuck D of Public Enemy is 48. Am Duritz of Counting Crows turns 44. Tempest Bledsoe, who played Veronica Huxtable.
I don't think that's right.
Vanessa?
Vanessa Huxtable on The Cosby Show is 35. And Coolio!
Can't have a party without Coolio!
Yo, what's up? It's Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood. Get a witch doctor superhero down to go toe-to-toe with any hate. Frank and Joe straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, 40 Thieves in the house. Mass Circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
thanks, gentlemen. Coolio, thanks for coming by.
All right, yeah.
Coolio's 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is a Metallica weekend starting this afternoon at 5 here on K-Rock. We are giving away the new album called Death Magnetic before you can buy it in the stores, plus a platinum membership to Mission Metallica. Now, this is their website deal where you can see previews and watch videos, live clips. We're going to do a grand prize drawing on Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show to send you to Texas to the Pizza Hut Park August 9th, not only to see Metallica at Ozfest, but hang out with the band backstage.
Metallica's working at Pizza Hut?
No, listen up. Pizza Hut Park is the name of the venue in Texas where the Ozfest is going to be. So you get to see the show and hang out with the band backstage. So that grand prize drawing is going to be Monday morning Metallica all weekend long here on the world famous K-Rock. What's going on with our pal Sam the Armenian Comedian? Why is he mad at us? Okay. By all accounts, we should be mad at him.
Here's what happened. Sam called and said, I think you guys should do a photo shoot with me.
Yeah.
So we
said, I remember that.
So we said, okay, we'll do it. And we set up a time, and then Sam's representative had to cancel for some reason.
Because they had trouble wrangling models
she
for the shoot,
right? She was
going
to bring all these models.
Yes.
Yeah.
So apparently, we've set a new date. Sam didn't know about it. Sam called up Gouda, one of our phone ops, and started screaming at him.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming.
Oh, well, that's unacceptable.
Making some threats.
Making weird, crazy threats. And Sam?
Hello.
What are you doing, dude?
Hey, you know what? It's not easy to get these mothers in one hall.
Right.
What? You know?
In one hall? Did you say one hole or one hall?
House.
Now, Sam, let me back up one step, my friend. I thought it was your idea that we were going to do a photo shoot with you and a bunch of models, and you told us that you had someone who could easily get models together for the picture. All we had to do was show up and take it.
Right.
That is
what happened.
What happened
was, it was crisscross that I had to take my lovely wife to a, you know, examination for some kind of reason.
Okay, and that's fine, but that wasn't our fault, right?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, but right now, this coming Monday, we are prompt ready, and then I wish you guys be there, Kevin and Bean, yourselves, to taste my barbecue, man. I'm going to have...
Is that a euphemism? I'm afraid it might be.
I can feed them, you know?
What are you talking about? Taste your barbecue. I thought it was a photo shoot.
Yeah, it's going to be barbecue too, same time, because I can't pay these lovely girls, so I have to feed them something.
Oh, I see.
Well, so, models love barbecue. That's one thing I know about them.
Yeah, I'm going to have barbecue. Come on over, guys.
Okay, now, Sam.
Delicious shish kebabs.
Sam, speaking of shish kebabs, you called Gouda here at the station, and you were yelling at him.
Because Lightning never respond me.
Okay. But that...
You know, I told him I'm going to have oil in the pool and then deep fry these mothers. I'm so mad.
Right. So then you started making threats about you were going to kill the models.
And why would we care if you kill the models? We don't know them.
Because... you know, I'm so upset you guys don't respond to me whenever I call.
Right, but why would you tell Gouda, who's not responsible for any of this? Huh?
It's not professionalism.
It's not professionalism?
Yes.
Well, call Lightning. Don't call Gouda. He doesn't know you.
I had to call somebody to get his
But Sam, you can't yell at the guy who answers the phone and threaten to drown your models because you're having trouble scheduling a photo shoot. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's like shooting the president because you like Jodie Foster, the actress. It just there's no connection there.
You know what? I've been bending backwards for you guys.
What are you talking about? You asked us to do a photo shoot. We were nice enough to say okay. You canceled. What is it that you've been bending over backwards for?
Well, I want to have a Christmas calendar right now with the girls. Me, Santa, and the girls are dears.
Okay,
and we're
going to
do a calendar, and I want to represent myself.
That's fine.
Because I'm going furthermore. I'm going to Vegas, and I'm going to have a Sammy Sinatra kind of a show.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying right now.
Yeah, you lost me after Vegas.
Help us here.
You're naming all these things that you want, and it seems like K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show are the ones that are making those things happen. So how are you the one that's bending over backwards?
I've been bending backwards. Michael, first of all, you were so much don't know about what we did many years. You just came about 2 years ago. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You're
Mike's
right.
Mike's been on our show for like 6 years now, Sam.
I am the newest one to the cast, and I don't know about all the things you did in the past. What I do know is about this photo shoot, and Lightning and I have been aware of the date and had it established and been in continuous communication with your so-called agent. And so you have no idea what you're talking about. You want to talk about professionalism.
Okay, so, you know,
professional talentism.
I'm just making this, pulling strings. And I have no idea what's going on with the email you're doing. You know, she tells me little things.
Okay, maybe you need to talk to her about telling you things.
She's hooking up all the girls, and she's so lovely, and she's so much care about me and doing all these things.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, look, Sam, here's what I care about. I care about you having your shirt off in the photo shoot. Is that going to happen?
Oh, no. We're just talking like that.
Sam, you promised nude photos. The only reason we went through all the trouble of getting a cameraman and gaffers and all that, which, you know, it's not easy to do. We got all the equipment and everything. You promised a nude layout.
Yeah, we can do as much as possible to show our skin. That's our promise.
Well, we're entering these pictures into Playgirl, so that means everything that's possible is everything. We're a complete nude spread.
Probably.
Okay, so you're okay with that?
No, probably. Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be nude.
All the way.
You're going to be nude.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's certainly a change.
Well, how far this girl's going to take off, I don't even know.
Well, we don't know either.
We strangely don't care about that.
We just want to see you. Exactly.
We play by ear.
Right.
Play by ear. Okay. All right, so you're cool now. You're not going to kill any models over the weekend. You understand that the photo shoot is set up for Monday, right?
Yeah, I hope you guys be there.
Yeah, we're going to be
there. We're not going to be there. We're not going to be there.
Hey, Sam?
Yeah?
Don't call people here and yell about killing people. Don't ever do that.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hey.
All right, so we're all set.
I want to have a breakfast with my band.
That's going to happen. We'll do that next month.
All right.
Right after Kevin pays your phone bill, we'll do that.
You want me to tell you a joke?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go out on a joke. Why not, Sam?
Always.
One morning, a drunken man was telling, he saw a priest coming by. Hello, priest. How are you? He says, you are drunk, aren't you? He goes, no, I'm not. He says, last time you came to my church and office, you said you need to drink again. And you're going to send your money instead to the church. Now, what I see is you're one leg on the foot, one leg on the sidewalk. Oh, my God, he says the drunk. I thought I was crippled.
All right, we're going to send that one up to the lab on 14, and they'll get back to us and tell us what the intent was. Thank you, Sam. We'll talk to you Monday.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Bean, I just want
to... All right, I can't take it anymore. I really
can't. We're done.
Are you shocked that he got played by ear correctly? I can't believe he got figured that figure of speech right.
Rob, did you hear how Bean introduced this song?
I did not, sir. I was outside smoking.
The King of Cheese. No, Bean's on his deathbed, by the way. He's got the flu and he's just about to die. But he's got the energy for this.
Not just guns, but roses, too. Coming up next on K-Rock.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
See, because not just guns.
But roses, too.
See?
Trying to make it entertaining for the
kids,
guys.
That's not entertaining for anyone.
That's all. We don't need it. You know what? Plenty of entertainment in that song. Get right to it.
Can
guns and roses, though, is
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, I think we get it.
All right. You guys, you don't get it, man. You just like 9/11, man. You guys just don't get it.
8:29, it is Friday morning, and that means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three big movies coming out this weekend.
Really?
Really? That kind of weekend?
I'd try to find American Teen, the documentary we were talking about earlier today, if I were you.
One of your favorites of the year?
One of my
year.
Favorites of the year.
How about that?
Right up there with Iron Man. That was another one of my favorites
wow.
of the year.
Wow.
That's a great movie. Yeah, but this American Teen, we were talking to some of the subjects of this documentary earlier today. We had three of the high school students in. And this is a documentary that follows three high school seniors around throughout their entire senior year from the beginning to the end and documents their life. And you've got all the prototypes of a high school class. You've got the geek who has no friends. You've got the super popular hot girl. You've got the jock. You've got the attractive but quirky girl who's sort of like the artistic type. Really interesting batch of people. And what happens in their lives is fascinating. These documentarians got so lucky with what happened to them and the storyline that really progresses throughout the whole story. And you find yourself getting very much involved in the lives of these kids and rooting for some of them and rooting against others. And it's a great, entertaining movie. I usually don't recommend documentaries because usually I'm not a big documentary fan. But this is about the high school experience. And whether you're in high school right now or you were in high school 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever you went to high school, you can absolutely relate to this experience because apparently it doesn't change.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through the same crap.
Everybody has the same high school, same friends.
Right, when you went to high school, there's
same trouble.
Same kind of people and same kinds of experiences that everyone has to survive. And I realized as I was watching it that high school really becomes like boot camp for life. You have to squeeze into 4 years all these really hard or great first experiences because it's the first time a lot of people fall in love and they break up and they've got expectations and they get their dreams crushed and they get new dreams, and it really is fascinating to watch. So if you get a chance, it's in selected theaters, but it's worth seeking out. American Teen, I liked it a lot. Also opening this weekend, Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah!
Now we're talking. Meat Train!
You've been teasing us with this one for months, Ralph.
Maybe the worst name for a movie ever.
Or best.
And by worst, I mean best.
It better be a porno.
Sadly, no, Bean. It is a horror movie from the mind of Clive Barker.
Midnight Meat Train.
It is. It's about a serial killer who's known as the Butcher. And he goes on the subway late at night and butchers people and hangs them like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And a photographer, played by Bradley Cooper from Alias fame,
sure.
Remember him? He accidentally catches a photo of the serial killer and then tries to hunt him down. Because that's what photographers do, you know. They hunt down serial killers.
Sure. They're detectives, most of them.
Leslie Bibb also stars in this film, along with Vinnie Jones, who plays...
Oh, he's great.
Mahogany. The Butcher. His character's name is Mahogany.
That's the bad guy?
Yeah. Clive Barker, and I S you not, admitted that he came up with the idea for this story while under the influence of a pot brownie.
Yeah, good for him. You don't have to tell me that.
Good for him.
He said, guys, I need help. I just thought up Midnight Meat Train.
That's the best title ever.
So Midnight Meat Train is in theaters this weekend. Here is sort of a condensed version of the trailer.
What happened?
I saw it.
Take your pictures to the cops.
I wasn't stalking her.
But you did continue to photograph.
No.
These represent missing people for the last 3 years.
The only way to make it stop.
I followed them into the subway. He butchers them like cattle. They never find the remains because he unloads the meat somewhere.
Just to go for the ride. Midnight Meat Train.
You've got to go for the ride.
Midnight Meat Train. It sounds like a comedy title, like someone made up to make fun of horror movies. Midnight Meat Train.
That's going
to
be the name of my band.
Now,
finally
Clive
decided.
Owen is the guy behind Hellraiser,
Clive Barker,
Candyman.
Clive Barker.
Clive Barker, excuse me, yeah. And he's got a real, he's got a pretty good background in horror. I mean, the guy knows what's scary.
Hellraiser, Candyman, that's right. Sure. And now Mahogany, the Midnight Meat Train Butcher. Oy vey. Also opening this weekend, Swing Vote, starring Kevin Costner. Hey, Hollywood, how many times do we have to tell you, we don't want to see Kevin Costner anymore? How many times do we have to not go to the theaters to make convince you that we're not interested? He plays Bud Johnson, a good old boy, whose single vote decides who will be the next president of the United States.
That could happen.
Sure could.
And so both candidates have to court Bud Johnson, good old boy Bud Johnson, and try to give him a beer and make him vote for them, because he's the swing vote.
I saw this trailer, and I just said, that's so... could never happen. I'm out.
But at least you get a lot of Kevin Costner standing up in front of people pontificating about what America should be.
Ugh.
We need politicians who are more than just their posters. Screw you, you heavy-handed mother...
Yeah, this sounds way preachy.
Does he learn an important lesson? Oh,
well, I think
his
we all do, Lisa. And his daughter has to learn the importance of democracy and blah, 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 blah.
Kevin Costner in this scene with his daughter, Molly. Meet the president, played by Kelsey Grammer on Air Force One, as the president tries to swing Bud's swing vote.
So, this is the Johnson family. Welcome to Air Force One. Hi, Molly.
Thanks for having us, sir.
It's a pleasure.
Mr. President.
Huh?
Call him Mr. President.
It's an honor, Mr. President.
Come on in, come on.
This place, it's really something.
It's my little home in the sky.
Kind of like a trailer with wings.
Fine analogy, bud.
Oh, there's nothing better than just raising white trash up onto a pedestal and making them seem like they're not white trash.
Is Larry the Cable Guy in this one, Ralph?
This freaking movie.
Kind of like a trailer with wings.
It's like a trailer. It's funny because he's dumb.
Oh. Are Big and Rich on the soundtrack?
Oh, he sure does drink a lot of beer, that Bud Johnson. But he's salt of the earth. He's what America's all about, Bud Johnson. Screw this movie so much. And lastly, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Hi.
Given the other choices this weekend, this thing looks like freaking Dark Knight.
Run to this.
Run to The Mummy. Brendan Fraser returns as the lead in The Mummy series. Jet Li, by the way, is the mummy of the first emperor.
Huh? He's the mummy?
He's the mummy who comes back to life. He's the emperor who comes back to life to try to take over the world.
I got you.
Once again. And Brendan Fraser, and this time not only his wife, who's now played by Maria Bello. She was Rachel Weisz. Now she's Maria Bello.
Okay.
And his inexplicably 35-year-old son team up together to try to beat the mummy. I don't know how Brendan Fraser looks like. He's about 4 years older than the last mummy movie. Now he's got this kid who looks like he's seriously about 30 that he's fighting alongside. I don't know how the math works out, but... the special effects look awesome in this. So if you're looking for something to beat the heat this weekend and just get into the air conditioning for a couple hours and eat some popcorn.
Swing vote?
I think The Mummy, Tomb of the Emperor, may be your choice. Here is a scene where Brendan Fraser's character, Rick O'Connell, watches as the mummy of the emperor, played by Jet Li, comes to life before his very eyes.
Here we go again.
That's the best clip ever.
Was there a word of English in it?
But in your mind's eye, you can imagine what's happening there. The only thing I dislike about what I've seen from the trailers in this is there's a lot of, here we go again.
Yeah.
These mummies, they don't stay dead. Yeah. Oh, I'm so tired of mummies. Geez, these mummies are still always a pain in my ass whenever I fight a mummy. We get it. Okay, there were two other mummies we know, and this is the third one. We got.
But swing vote, so...
Swing vote. Freaking swing vote. Seriously. And I saw an interview with Kevin Costner talk about this movie. He's like, are you proud of the film, Kevin? I don't make a movie unless I get a feeling in my gut that it's going to be a classic.
A classic?
Okay. A classic, he says out loud, without any irony at all. To which I present to the jury... 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
One of the worst movies ever.
He's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, those are your choices.
All right.
I say American Teen, but that's me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's. Ralph Garman's. Movie beat.
Turn it up!
That's MIA on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ from the new movie Pineapple Express. That one's called Paper Planes. That's the kind of song you play and people will email you and go, dude, what was that song?
Yeah.
But now you know. It's 8:47 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Afro Line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. What are people calling about today?
All sorts of things. Some people just feel the need to pick up the phone and fill us in on what's going on in their life that particular moment.
I just had sex.
Well, good for you.
Other people were watching the news and may have been baseball fans, particularly Dodger fans, and realized that perhaps today we have a new Dodger. I shouldn't say we. I'm not a big baseball fan, but the Dodgers have a new Dodger named Manny Ramirez, who I have been informed is one of the top three hitters in the league.
He's a good deal.
Manny! Manny! Manny!
The good thing about Manny, and Mike, you tell me if I'm wrong here, is that when he's motivated, there's no better hitter. He's been kind of going through the motions a little bit this year because he's been unhappy in Boston, but if he's psyched up for the Dodgers, there's no telling what he's capable of.
Guaranteed offense. That's what he is. Just pencil him in for runs. That's what he brings.
We don't need this call.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, yes. Always, always when I have sex.
Oh.
Okay, don't we have any kind of a process by which that call can be rejected and not make it to the air, though?
Yes, and it goes through us, and we know you'll hate it, so we play it. Patrick Swayze is apparently getting much healthier.
That's amazing.
Even though he had a very serious form of cancer.
Yeah, of course Patrick Swayze is getting better. You know why? Because nobody puts the baby in the corner.
That's a good point. That's a good reference to that movie from the 80s.
King of Mexico does the podcast, and he's not always on time with it.
To a text to landline message, yell my f***. What the f*** is up with this f***ing podcast? Tell the King of Beans asked to quit texting for 2 minutes and love the f***ing podcast. Mm-hmm. Asshole.
You know, you're lazy even for a Mexican.
This is a smooth talker.
Hey, Lisa May. For once, will you let me jam traffic on your 405 freeway? Let me ride on the carpool lane heading southbound, if you know what I mean. Maybe we could do a little bumper-to-bumper action. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? All right, then, Pookie. Bye.
I was into Jelly Bean.
Yeah, he lost to Jelly Bean?
Yeah, he sure did.
Last night at the X Games, Danny Way, who is one of the pioneers of that big ramp, mm-hmm. fell and hurt himself pretty seriously. And they brought out the medical people, and they took him back, and they were, you know, doing x-rays and stuff. And apparently he broke his ankle, oof. Hurt his shoulder, yeah. Hurt his spine, and then came back and did two more runs on the big ramp.
Sure he did.
And it was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. And he came back and took first place and then got beat on the very last run by somebody else. But he did two more runs after he wiped out and had a broken ankle.
Crazy.
This is when he fell.
Back split rocket air. He's got it. He recovered. Now it's 5-4. So hard.
It's a real transformation in 2 seconds. You're so excited because he's doing such an amazing trick, and then he's down and you go, oh.
Yeah.
Danny frickin' Way. Oh my God. Does that guy not break? You need to get him on the show and ask him what he's made of. That guy is indestructible.
It does take a special kind of athlete to come back from an injury like that 5 minutes later. It really does.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You remember he broke his ankle just before he was jumped the Wall of China, too. Yeah. The Great Wall
that's
of
right.
China.
Yep.
That guy performs best when he's hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
We sure don't have. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Shiver your timbers in the newly remodeled rooms at Treasure Island Las Vegas. Rooms from $89. Visit treasureisland.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Did you say shiver your timbers?
I don't think I did.
I can't.
No, I'm
not
pretty
today.
Sure I would never not say today. That.
Wow. I can't get a new Kevin Costner movie and shiver me timbers all
no,
the same
I didn't
day.
Do
it's
that.
Just
you
overload.
Guys are silly.
It is too much. 8:56, Bean is going to be the keynote speaker at a Dork Fest. We'll tell you about
how
that
dare you.
Right after the top of the hour.
Is it DorkCon 08?
It is DorkCon 08,
he's
yes.
going to DorkCon.
Yes, he is.
Good for you.
Now I got to put up a
freaking Edmund Fitzgerald next. This is a horrible show.
No. This is
a horrible show.
This is what Bean was born to do. Coming up next.
All right, let's talk about Britney Spears, shall we? She apparently is still, she's better, but she's still not sane enough to run her own life. At least that's what a judge thought yesterday as he extended the conservatorship
mm-hmm.
of her father, Jamie Spears, over her life throughout the end of the year. So that means he makes all the decisions when it comes to his daughter's business and legal affairs. However, there will be yet another status hearing on October 28th where the judge will once again say, no, you're too crazy to run your own life. However, the restraining order against Sam Lufty was also revisited yesterday in court, and Jamie Spears has decided to drop that restraining order. So,
why do you suppose he did that?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks that Sam Lufty really is in a danger of coming back in and trying to influence her again, as he was in 2007 when her downward spiral began and took picked up speed.
He seemed bad for her.
Very bad, yes. Yeah. Seemed like he was very self-serving and was just keeping her sort of whacked out so he could have complete control over her.
That's what it seemed like.
But apparently Jamie doesn't think there's much of a threat of that
anymore.
Well, maybe
if he has control of the money, that's all Sam
would
be interested in anyway.
This guy has no interest anyway?
Yeah.
It's very possible. Balthazar Getty. By the way, we haven't said the name Balthazar Getty this much since Dead Poets Society was in theaters.
Yeah.
He is desperate to reconcile with his wife, Rosetta, according to friends and co-workers. He flew out here to Los Angeles to see her earlier in the week. But she wants nothing to do with him after his affair with Sienna Miller was published in every major newspaper in Europe and all over the internet. Photos of him.
Wow, what a bitch.
Making out with Sienna Miller and as she was in various states of undress.
Give the guy a weekend off once in a while. Come on.
He does have four children with his wife, Rosetta, the youngest of which is 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls and emails her constantly, according to insiders, but she refuses to answer. He's apparently realizing he made a big mistake and wants back with his family, but that's not going to happen.
Lisa, let me ask you this as a woman. Is such a public dishonoring something you could ever forgive?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Besides which, it's Sienna
Miller.
It's
beyond the betrayal.
So, yeah.
It's the humiliation, right?
Yeah.
And then you know you're not as hot as Sienna Miller.
That was the other point I was going to bring up. Every time you have sex with him, you're thinking, well, he's just thinking of Sienna. I mean, it would be horrible on every level. There's just no way you could repair that, I don't think.
Speaking of Sienna Miller, remember when she was engaged to Rice Effins?
No.
This is the scruffy, geeky guy who played the roommate of Hugh Grant in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
Now you know who I'm talking about, right?
Skinny, 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 funny guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walks around his underwear a lot. Yeah. But deeply unattractive.
Way unattractive.
Was in a committed relationship with Sienna Miller until she dumped him. So he has moved on now. His new girlfriend, Kimberly Stewart.
You're kidding.
No.
Really? How does he do
How
that?
How does this happen? Apparently, the two were spotted entering through the back door
of
a Hollywood nightclub.
He's like a David Spade or something.
He's weaving uglier than David Spade.
Is,
He's got
I know.
British teeth, all whatever with the teeth.
But they're British women. They're used to
Kimberly Stewart, yeah, I guess she is a Brit. Her dad is Rod Stewart, the rock and roll singer. But, yeah, so he's got a new girlfriend. He's moving on.
How does he do it?
I don't know. What's wrong?
I like that no matter how many times, and it's been 100 times now you've brought up Rice's name. Kevin never remembers who he is.
Right. Then I go
We've had the same conversation a week ago. Yeah, exactly.
And he goes, oh, yeah, that dude. Yeah, you think
like,
about
how many?
Stick.
How many times in a row are you going to have to explain who the dude is?
200. Listen to me.
Okay.
I don't care. Dude left his car
All right, let's not talk
running.
About that. We don't have time for that.
With the keys inside of it.
We don't have time for that.
And
he did do that.
Just got out and went to the X Games.
Yesterday, yeah. Yeah, but we don't have time for that.
And you're worried, Bean, about him knowing who Rice
That's
Evans
a good point.
Is?
That's a good point. He's lucky he gets dressed by himself in the morning.
Showed up this morning. I heard a guy yelling at me, hey, wait. Kevin forgot his key card to get into the gate of the parking lot and into the building.
Yeah.
So I had to walk him in because he didn't have I said, where is it? Like, I have no idea. Put my hand in my pocket. It wasn't there.
You have to show him where the studio was, where he puts his stuff.
Dude, we're losing him.
Are you taking the King of Mexico with you because you can't travel alone anymore?
Pretty
is he
much.
The guy who's gonna he's gonna tape your name on a badge on your shirt?
I don't see good things happening in Chicago.
I don't. But at least you're broadcasting from there Monday. So
I'll try and we'll be here on Monday.
Avril Lavigne's getting rid of her fangs. Star Magazine says that she's going to have her pointed teeth filed down as soon as she gets off this current tour. And have her teeth filed down.
I don't think they look that bad.
They're pretty fangy.
Are they?
Yeah, they're pretty fangy. Why don't they just give her some of those wood chips or something? They give it to rabbits in the cage. Just let her gnaw on them and just kind of wear them down naturally.
Yeah.
Why does she have to get all filed down or whatnot?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tempest Bledsoe from The Cosby Show is 35 years old today. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows turns 44. Chuck D of Public Enemy.
Faith, how low can you go?
Yeah. He's 48 years old today. Tom Wilson, the cartoonist responsible for the nightmare that is Ziggy, is 77 years old today. And Coolio,
Zaka Zulu,
is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to tell you,
what?
There are a lot of bad songs in the past. Mm-hmm. A lot of bad songs. But
I see where you're headed with this.
My least favorite song of all time, that song that makes you just want to punch somebody because it's so awful, bad, repetitive,
you hate the song.
Terrible. It's the one that sends me in just into a tizzy. I can't control myself when I hear this song. Is one of Bean's favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably my very favorite song. And that's what's fascinating. What are the chances that two people who work together as closely as we do would be thrown into this situation where my favorite song of all time is also Kevin's least favorite song of all time? What are the chances of that?
It just can't be your favorite.
It's because Kevin hates you.
No. No, that song, I despise that
but
song
you
from
hate
day
it
one.
Because he loves it so much.
Well, he does
because
love it.
Because it's impossible.
Unnaturally.
Here's a little bit of the song that we're talking about from 1976 by the great Gordon Lightfoot, talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
We've heard the whole thing now. We've already heard it.
First of all, there's 6.5 minutes left.
It all goes just like this, though, right?
Church bell chimes in the ring 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Go ahead.
This horrible song. It's about a shipwreck that happened in, what year, Bean?
November 10th, 1975.
Okay, whatever.
The 33rd anniversary is coming up this year, and I have received an invitation via email from a young man who's on the phone with us right now. He is the drama director of a play called 10 November, and we welcome Dave Krisnick to the phone right now. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, Dave, I understand from your email that for a while you lived in Southern California. That's how you know about K-Rock, but now you live out in Michigan, right?
That is correct.
Okay. What's the deal? What's the gist of this email that you're sending? What is it you're looking for?
I am looking for Bean, one of the greatest Edmund Fitzgerald aficionados, to come to Michigan.
Yes.
And on the anniversary of the sinking, this 10th of November, be the keynote speaker and a moderator at a panel discussion before our performance of the play, 10 November, so he can sit beside noted historians, gentlemen who have explored the wreck, and just revel in the ship and its legend.
He's so in. I mean, this is what he was born for. It's a horrible song, but it involves human death, which Bean also loves.
He does love death.
See, now here's the thing, and I'm sure David would agree with me on this. You're kind of focusing on the song because you hate the song, Kevin, but the truth is there are thousands of people, particularly in the Midwest, who are obsessed with this shipwreck because it's one of the great mysteries of the Great Lakes. People don't know why it sunk, and that's why to this day the fascination remains. 29 people went down that day, and they've never solved the mystery of why it sunk.
I'm going to suggest, A, they never will, and B, who cares?
David, you want to handle that one?
Yes, there is a new researcher, a gentleman here in Michigan in the Flint area I've contacted, who has done extensive research over the past 3 years. He may have a new theory there and be close to solving the mystery. If I get a chance, I'm going to meet with him and head up to Whitefish Point and possibly even meet the evil architect.
Wait a minute, David. You're suggesting that this guy might have a new theory?
I'm suggesting he might have yet another theory.
You're not even sure that he has a theory, which, by the way, theory equals guess. This is a dude with a new guess, maybe.
He could possibly, maybe, might have a new theory. But Bean is right. We know more about the sinking of the Titanic than we do about the Fitzgerald.
Is there this kind of a celebration of the Titanic or any other big shipwreck?
Yeah, there are people. There are people who are huge Titanic aficionados who study that wreck, but it's not. There's no mystery because they ran into an iceberg. So there's right. not the mystery of the crash. But there are certainly people who are interested in the artifacts and interested in the stories of the people who were on the ship, and of course there are plays and movies and everything written about like that. The Fitzgerald is the biggest of all the shipwrecks, though, and there have been hundreds of them over the years, hundreds and hundreds. Now, what's this 10 November play that you're putting on this year, David?
The play is by Stephen Dietz. It's a legitimate play. It's been performed many places, and it basically explores the wreck from the shipyards in Detroit to its death, to the legend and the various theories, and it brings to life the rather dry reports from the Marine Casualty Board, Coast Guard, those sort of reports, and it's just told, in our case, through the eyes of our young actors at Pinconning Area Schools.
And it's based on the first, on the eyewitnesses that were around? It's based on...
Based on actual testimony, and yes, from the Arthur M. Anderson that Bean knows very well.
Oh,
from,
certainly.
Folks that were on the Anderson. It's pieced together, and it just brings the entire story to life in a rather serious and eerily evocative way.
That is my nightmare, and yet Bean has had a wet dream about that every day of his life.
David,
Bean wakes up excited and says, I could one day be a speaker at a dork con.
It's not a dork con. How dare
dork
you?
It's the dork con.
It's more of a geek fest than a dork con.
Come on, what's the difference?
We're splitting hairs.
He can keynote and moderate, and we will, if he comes, we'll put him up at the Pinconning Motel. Right,
you will not.
Wow. You know, it's so funny, David, that your email came because this is for reals. Last year, I was this close. I mean, I had already reserved airline fare to Michigan. I was going to fly to Detroit, and I was going to drive up and go to the Shipwrecks Museum and everything. And then I was going to drive around, you know, Lake Superior and go up into Wisconsin where there was a playhouse that was putting on 10 November. I almost went to see it last year, but there was so much snow already that it just would have been too tough of a driving for one weekend. So I put
Exciting
it off.
Story.
So what I'm saying to you is this has been something I've been wanting to do and wanting to go see for some time. Maybe this is the year that finally my dreams come true.
This is fate then, Bean. You have to leave that the seclusion of the island. You're getting a little stuffy there. You're dressing up your dog and yourself like a crazed Frenchman from Bastille Day. You need to come to Michigan.
Yeah.
And I just the thing is that you have so many more people who are so much more knowledgeable about the wreck than I am. I mean, moderating would be one thing,
this
but nobody
is
wants
your
to hear me.
Dream.
Nobody wants to hear me talk
who
about it.
Cares?
These are the guys that have the stories. You know what I mean?
It's not about the listener. It's about you being able to get up and bloviate about something that you've been bloviating about for years.
Yeah.
That is such a good point. It has never stopped you that other people know so much.
None of us want any information about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and you come with it 24/7.
This is the year
guy
I think
wants you to speak.
The fact that this legendary, iconic Los Angeles DJ will fly from the West Coast to Pinconning, Michigan
to DorkCon
to GeekFest. To be a part of that is that that's what's amazing about
very
the story.
Tempting.
Why did the people die?
It's
the
very
boat
tempting.
Not solid.
I'm going to have to think about this when I check my schedule and get back to you, David.
Goddamn, get down there and give that speech or I'll punch you right in your head. You've wasted so much of my life on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now you get a chance to speak about it in front of a room of dorks.
Geeks.
Dorks.
Fitzgerald geeks.
And come on!
He could broadcast live. You could simulcast your broadcast or something.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
That's a great idea.
We'll do it
that's
live.
That's a great idea.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, David, we are out of time right
He'll
now, but
do
it's,
it.
It's an extremely generous
he's
offer.
In.
And it's certainly tempting.
Absolutely, he's going to do it.
I'll definitely get back to you on this one. So thank you for coming on with us. We enjoyed it.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone.
All right. You too, David. Bye-bye. Take care.
Dork Fest.
How about that? I may have to do that, guys.
Dream.
I don't know how
you
I do.
You may have to? Are you kidding me?
That's so your dream.
This is the equivalent, Kevin, of them asking you to come live at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, it's how do I resist, you know?
That's what I'm saying. See, if they said come live at the Playboy Mansion, I would go.
I understand. I want to go. You know, it's tough to get me off the island. You know that. I mean,
this
I'm thinking about it,
though. This is what you were born for.
I'm thinking about it. It's very tempting.
I might kill you.
Available now only from wreckoftheedmundfitzgerald.com, the CD everyone has been waiting for from the world's greatest singer. ASCO Records presents Gordon Lightfoot, proving he can sing all your modern favorites on Alternative Gordon. Think Gordo's a moldy oldie? You couldn't be more wrong. Listen how hip he is as he gives his fresh sound to System of a Down's Chop Suey.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die.
And you'll be cheering G.O.D. when you hear Gordon's Youth of the Nation by P.O.D.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
And you'll fall in love all over again with Gordon's version of this violent femme smash.
Let me go on like a blister in the sun. Big hands, I know you are the one.
Plus, if you order now, you'll get a bonus disc, Gordon Lightfoot's Party Jokes. Your friends will be rolling with laughter when you play this CD at your next bash.
A Jew and a Catholic walk into a bar looking for a one-legged hooker.
What a deal! Alternative Gordon and Gordo's Party Jokes, all for $199.99. So call now, 1-877-BEANS-EFT. 1-877-BEANS-EFT.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
This has been a tremendous week to get in on Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew because we've been giving away tickets for X Games, a 4-pack to check out the X Games going on right now and through this weekend at the Staples Center and Home Depot. Go to Ticketmaster for yours. Speaking of the X Games, let's start. Did we just lose our guy on line 4 or is he still there?
I don't know.
Let's try it.
Looks like he's
there.
Swing
it.
All right. K-Rock, hello. Hello.
Hey,
hello,
sir. He had a name and then they took it away, so I don't know if he's still there or not.
Is anyone there?
We got Sam?
Hi, Sam. What's up? You're on the air. What to do?
Hey, I happened to wake up really early this morning, and I happened to hear the first thing after you guys got on the air was Kevin had a little story about when he went to the X Games.
Yeah, I don't
Kevin,
think
would you like to retell the story?
Yeah, Kevin, would you like to retell that story?
Well,
for us,
I don't
please.
Think I would, to be honest.
We can retell it if you'd like.
What are you doing, Sam?
Hilarious.
All right,
it
I got,
sure
out of my,
was.
Got out of my car,
right.
Parked,
right.
Walked to Staples Center to right. go to X Games.
Okay.
Realized, reached in my pocket to get my ticket, realized I didn't have my keys. So then I thought, well, I must have dropped them someplace along the way. So I turned around and I retraced my steps all the way back out to my car.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out to my car,
yes.
I found that it was still running. the engine was going, and the doors were all unlocked, and my keys were in it, and I hadn't turned it off yet.
Keys were in the ignition.
Yeah.
Car was running.
Yes.
What a maroon.
What an imbecile.
Totally a maroon. It's a good point.
How do you get out of your car with the engine running?
Is it so quiet?
And then walk away from the car, and it's still running.
I was very troubled by it as well. It happened to me. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, no, I really am losing my mind.
Were you alone?
No, I had my kids.
Oh. You know what?
You
are not going to be able to take that out unsupervised anymore.
It's genetic. How dare you?
Oh, boy. They didn't stop saying, Dad, the car is running.
No.
That's not really
It's not their job, though.
I know, but you think they might notice. They're
no,
old enough.
No, it's not their fault. Don't blame them.
We're not blaming
them. Not blaming them. Just saying you'd think someone in your party would have noticed.
Yeah, well.
It is a surprise that nobody noticed that the car was
running. Someone in our party did notice as I went back and found it. Let's move on.
All right, speaking of the X Games, let's go to Guy on line 2. He's calling us from Whittier. He was at the X Games last night, and he saw a great night of action sports. Hey, Guy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and B? What it do, nephew?
What's happening, man?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Guy? What's going on?
Hey, not much. I actually snuck into the credential area for the family area of the X Games early.
Right.
I was able to sit there right at the landing ramp, right in front of the dirt landing ramp all night long.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, it was strong. Pastrana, Deegan, everybody was sitting right there. It was. You can't get these tickets. It's all credentials and athletes, and I was so lucky.
Nicely done. There were a couple of double backflip tries. He wiped out twice. There was a front flip try. He wiped out.
Yeah, it was definitely. But the best was the flip over the box with for the gold medal for the best trick. That was the best.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The guy's motorcycle just stayed normal, and he did a backflip in the air and landed back on his motorcycle.
Oh, my.
Yeah. it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing. I wanted to apologize to my family because they were sitting up in the high nosebleeds all night
long.
I snuck in there.
You ditched them. You ditched your family.
I ditched my family. She's listening. I wanted to say sorry, Michelle.
Aww.
and kids.
I don't think she's going to unlock the door.
Left your
dude.
Wife and kids behind. Wow. You're a prince.
You're out.
Wow.
That's a Kevin move, by
hey,
the way.
Hey, how dare you?
It so is. You sneak into some exclusive area.
Leave
not supposed
my
to
family?
Be. Oh, of course you would.
You'd forget where they were.
That's right. You'd go find
Speaking
them running in the seats that he left them behind in.
Speaking of sports, let's go down to line 7, Whittier, and welcome Aaron to the Kevin and Bean Show. Aaron, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Aaron?
What's going on?
I just want to say that I'm really, really happy. I'm an Angel fan, but the Dodgers signed Manny Ramirez, and I just, you know, I think that it's a blessing that we get to see Manny play in L.A. every single day now.
Yes!
If he decides really to, if he feels like
if
playing.
If he feels like playing that day?
Exactly, yeah.
But if it's only good for half a year, so be it. But we still get to, I mean, this guy's a clown on the field, and it's going to be fun to see him, you know, giving high five to people when he catches a, you know, a pop fly in the outfield. And
I'm not a big baseball fan, so I was not aware of this, but
he's
this
got
guy.
A big personality, this guy.
He's colorful. Seems yeah. nutty.
He's crazy.
He is nutty.
But a fantastic offensive player, right?
Yeah.
But you're an Angel fan. Why would you be happy that the Dodgers got him?
Well, because he's, like I said, he's kind of, you know, he's got a good personality, and, you know, it's good to see guys like this, you know, in baseball. And
and he's on TV every day now. He can watch him on TV now. He's an entertaining player to watch.
Freeway World Series.
That'd be awesome.
He could be.
There you go.
Could be. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're running out of time. We've got some great calls today. Let's try Ricardo in Beverly Hills. This is a very bizarre story. It's been very hot online this morning. Ricardo, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard about that guy that got his head cut off on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah,
up in Canada, Joke-a-Wild.
Oh, wait a minute,
like Midnight Meat Train. It was awesome.
The
what?
Guy was
totally.
Sound asleep.
What
and
happened?
The guy sitting next to him just cut his head off.
Was he snoring? I mean, maybe.
He had his headphones on. He was listening to music, and he had his eyes closed if he was sleeping. The guy who was actually sitting behind him reached around with a knife, a big hunting knife, and started stabbing him to the point that blood was shooting all over the cabin.
What the hell?
So people around him scream, "Stop the bus! Stop the bus!" And the bus driver does, and they all trying to get off for their own safety. And so the guy continues to carve him up, then decapitates him, walks to the front of the bus, drops the guy's head off, and takes off.
Oh my God!
And he didn't know the guy. He just picked out a victim on the bus and went and sat next to him and just tore him up. It's
this
the most bizarre thing.
Is why I don't ride the bus.
This is just it wasn't his day. That's all. You know,
I called him Joke-a-Wild. That's what his name was on MySpace. But I read a lot about this guy yesterday. He was, you know, big into tattoos and motorcycles. And Mike, you'll love this. He enjoyed mostly working out on his physique, which he called rock hard.
I love him.
Yeah.
I know you do. He's your guy, man. He's
American. He's Canadian
research,
psycho.
Has done the research on the murderer, by the way.
Listen, if it involves human death, Bean is all over it.
I'm upset because I'm bidding on my dead baby picture on eBay and I'm getting outbid at $200.
Tell people that part of them.
I do enjoy death. That is true. Let's try Darren in Glendale on line 5. Hi, Darren. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? Hey, my question was for Ralph. You know, Ralph, I love Movie Beat. I love all the impressions you do.
Thank you, sir.
But?
I trusted you on the X-Files.
I smell a butt coming.
But?
How much did Columbia pay you to say Step Brothers was hilarious?
I loved Step Brothers.
Nobody pays him, by the way. We barely
So did
pay
Kevin,
him.
So did Alex,
did.
Everyone in the office. We all went and we all laughed very hard.
It was horrible.
You're wrong.
Well, you're bad.
It was horrible.
You're incorrect.
Darren, you're bad.
You are less than right.
Here's the thing. Here's what I will tell you. That the laughs were bigger than the movie was good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were so many jokes that were funny. The movie probably wasn't...
It's a movie built around the jokes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Compared to, like, to a funny movie like Step... Like, Superbad... Like,
hello?
I disconnect him?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he's there. He's there.
Yeah,
no, it's Superbad was funny. I agree. It was funny. Knocked Up was funny, yes. So
the
was Step Brothers.
Was when Seth Rogen was in it.
Yeah. Well, you're bad.
You're wrong.
All right. Thanks
Moving
for calling.
On.
Okay. You're not allowed to have a different opinion. You've got to know that by now if you've been listening to this
It is
program,
not subjective.
Okay? Exactly. It's
you
very
know, I hate almost everything all the time on this show.
Yeah.
I'm always angry and always picking on stuff. I get very little email. When I like something, that's the time I get the majority of the hate mail. People can call me up or write me and say, how dare you like that? You'd think it'd be a refreshing change to hear me say something good about something once in a while.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I want to thank our special guest, Kevin Robinson, for joining us on the program today. Of course, he is the BMXer participating in X Games 14 with the Big Air at 5:45 at Staples tonight. And then the Freestyle Vert is going to be tomorrow at Home Depot at 4:15. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. Also, thanks to cast member... I keep calling them cast members as if they're actors, but the high school students that are in the documentary American Teen in theaters today, Jake, Megan, and Colin for stopping by. And if you missed the movie beat earlier today, Ralph says that is definitely the pick of the weekend. Loved Doesn't it. Sound like something maybe you'd like, but you'll become engrossed if you go.
That Megan, oh, the things I'd do to her if I were in high school with her.
All right, Monday morning we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hopefully I will be on it.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Traveling to Chicago today to go to Lollapalooza.
It's 3 days of music and partying.
Radiohead tonight.
And you saying you're going to be on the air Monday from
Rage
Chicago.
Against the Machine tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nine Inch Nails, Kanye West on Sunday.
That'll happen. I'm sure it'll happen.
And did your friend Joe Rogan hook you up with anything for the trip, or are you going to be buying when you get there? How's that going to work?
Hooked. You're hooked?
I'm hooked. Don't worry about it.
Oh, so you got some wafer-thin Listerine strips or whatever the hell you suck on all day?
Also, on Monday, we're going to do the Metallica Grand Prize. You get to hang out with the band at Ozfest. And Sustainable Dave.
Yes.
Cribs.
Oh. Great. So now we've built an entire video segment the bit we're all bored with.
He doesn't throw a lot of stuff away, Ralph. What? That's what you don't get about Sustainable.
I don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
Dick?
Roll another one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be alright.
The best tonic is chronic.
And I need another hit.
Looks like Jed the Fish is coming up next in for Cat Corbett with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Kids, that great new song from MGMT is part of it. The Living End, Foo Fighters, Chili Peppers, and Weezer. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
Roll.
Out.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh, yeah.
Balls.
I don't have another sin.
Bass! How low can you go?
Tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
You're still here.
Damn it, what the f*** is going on?
Well, I guess saying goodbye wasn't enough.
What else do I have to do?
Well, I will see you Monday.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
All right, I'm going to, here's the plan. I'm going to go to commercials and then come back and play 40 minutes nonsense. Hey, we live in L.A. We have earthquakes, we have fires, we have floods, we have riots. But we have really nice weather. So we got that going for us, which is nice. All right, I'm Stryker. We'll be back in just a minute on K-Rock. Stick around.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.